You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Hey,
what's up, what's up? That's right. I'm here somehow, some way. Got Kanye West here with us, and also Ricky. Put your hands together,
Ricky, guys.
And I mean, when I say put your hands together, I mean you guys. Put your hands together and give it up.
Yeah.
Guys, can I? There you go. Can I have some backup?
Yeah.
And all kinds of fucking technical difficulties tonight, guys. All kinds. So many technical difficulties. I can't even get in the board right now, but I'm trying, and my computer is just now booting up again. All kinds of technical issues here. And so how's it going, guys? Let's stall for a little bit. How about them Astros?
Yes, sir.
Astros are killing it.
AL fucking CS bound, babies. ALCS bound.
2018, we're gonna we killed some stocks. We're gonna kill some more stocks.
I watched the game two nights ago with Ricky,
right?
And it was like they were gonna cry. Like the guys, everybody watching the game, everybody in the stands at home.
It's about Sunday.
Yeah,
we weren't gonna cry. We were just pissed off when we left.
It looks
we
so,
left in the
and then they didn't even watch the whole thing. I was like, this is why I quit watching WWE. I was like, because it made me feel like this.
No,
then,
but then
and then
the
they won today, and I was like, oh wow.
Yeah,
and I popped.
I can only say I was so nervous I listened to it on radio. And I was so nervous that the only time I got comfortable was when Altuve fucking hit that bomb in the eighth inning, boy. That 3-run bomb, and I was like, okay, 10-1, baby.
No chance.
10-1, baby. No
That's
chances. What you got?
Yeah, that was badass right there, guys. That was badass right there. So let's see how we're doing here. We test the fucking line here and see what's going on.
We're CFP, bro.
All right. Christian from
Hello.
Philly. Is that you,
I'm right here.
Albert? Anybody?
No, I'm right here.
Nobody can hear me. Christian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm right here.
Christian. Oh, you are. Oh, I can't hear
Christian,
you.
Christian, hello?
Yeah, I'm trying to get situated with my setup here. So why don't you guys go ahead and continue with this shit while I work on this behind
the
scenes.
Is this the beginning of the show?
Albert Infected right here coming up? Let's see.
What is it, Ricky?
Christian, with you being a White Sox fan, how do you feel about the loss, buddy?
What do you mean a White Sox fan? I don't follow baseball.
You're a White Sox fan. How do you feel about the loss?
Oh, come on.
Do shoot. Just make it up.
I don't know.
He's from Philly, though.
He doesn't watch football. I was going to ask Christian something, too, actually. Christian, are you going to let Dan Lambert talk all that shit about Philadelphia, dude? He was talking so much. He called it a shit-stained town, dude.
That dirty-ass, fat-ass shit.
Dude, he, like, shit on Philadelphia super.
I don't give a fuck what Dan Lambert said. He should just focus on his fucking team. He should keep his mouth shut.
I love Dan Lambert, man. He cuts the best promos.
He really does, dude. He's one of the best promos.
And he was right on about Philadelphia, what he said.
Oh, right on.
I applaud him.
I mean, all you got is the broken bell, right?
Sure. You have the broken bell and Rocky? No, I'm doing my boy all wrong.
I guess Donovan McNabb.
We're talking about Rocky or next.
I'm kidding, Christian. I'm just trying to.
No, I thought of you, though. Whenever
I'm trying to make you
when
mad.
Dan Lambert started talking all that shit, I was like, dude, Christian could cut a promo on this dude that would fucking split his wig, dude.
Yeah, America's top tea in your fucking gym is garbage, bro.
Scorpio Sky, pretty cool. I still got him.
Yeah.
Albert, you with us? Is Chuck introducing Albert? Trying to.
Albert, can you guys hear me?
Yo.
Albert, can you guys hear me?
What the hell?
You know, you're having technical difficulties over there, and I, again, am having technical difficulties over here. And I don't know what the hell, whose failure it is that I can't hear anything or can't, I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be a great show tonight, guys, but I'm happy. I'm happy
blog
to be
talk.
Here. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Blog talk.
Did we talk about a year ago? Over a year ago, we were talking about moving from Blog Talk Radio, and I think the Blog Talk Radio executives must have gotten wind of our rumblings in this group here, and they must be sabotaging us again because they don't want us to. I mean, maybe they do want us to go. Maybe they hate our show. Maybe Blog Talk Radio hates our fucking show so much, and I blame Christian for that.
But Chuck said it is his computer having problems, so I don't think we should bury Blog Talk right off the bat, but they do have a motive.
Let's bury Chuck's
computer. Well, let's head Anchorman match, where it's us versus Blog Talk.
Yeah. You'd win.
Yeah.
Me by myself?
Yeah, Chuck. Yeah. You and Chuck.
Yeah, I'll
Chuck
take on the Brits,
right now.
British
book
girl.
Book it.
I'll take the British girl on. We'll run with that. Who is that British girl, by the way, Chuck? Is that a robot you have there?
Today was the first time I noticed she was British, actually. I never noticed it before.
Yeah, it's a robot.
Like, Mr. Bond, your show will start in 4 minutes.
Yeah. Your show will go live in 4 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Break the wall down! What about now? Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
That was relevant, Chris Jericho.
Yes, we can hear you, Minister.
Yeah.
Minister.
I got the birthday.
Well, not anymore.
Chuck, can I do birthdays this week?
No, I'll do it this week.
Who was that?
That was me.
And this birthday thing, right? It's like the date where people were born on, right? This is like that is.
Yeah, his birthday is on today. Wrestler's born on, and today actually stinks. Today sucks for birthdays. I'll give away one
day,
thing. I'll wait for Chuck.
The days that these wrestlers came out of their mother's wombs, correct?
Yeah. The day that they started. Now, being from this moment forward, they started now being themselves.
Yeah.
They were born into the clutches of Governor Greg Abbott. Are we correct?
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just say the birthdays right now, guys. I got the list. Don't worry.
Now, clarify this. Is Stevie Richards on this list at all?
No.
Well, let's see. No, he's not on this list.
I think his was last week. I think Stevie was last week.
Yeah, that's right, he was.
Wait. No, do I have this corrected? Like, are all these births because of Governor Greg Abbott?
Yeah, well, they were actually stopped because of Governor Greg Abbott.
Were they stopped, or were they forced into the world?
Anyway, that's the Full Tilt Boogie. Christian's going to do birthdays
this
week. Go ahead, Chrissy.
How many mid-carders do you think we're going to have? How many more mid-carders are we going to have in 20-something years because Greg Abbott's order there?
All right, so...
How many more mid-carders right now because of the abortion ban?
All right, so the first thing we got to do is mention stuff. There's only like a few people and decimals because we practically said everybody last week on their birthday. So I'm just going to mention a few people that are on this list. First is,
Go ahead.
Okay, Raquel Diaz.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Raquel Diaz, October
14th, 1990. You got a better name. I don't see her on my list. Happy birthday.
I don't remember this woman, to be honest.
Raquel Diaz, yeah.
Also coming up next week, it is October 20th, 1958, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
Big guy. You know, I just barely, like a couple of weeks back, and I think we might have talked about this on the show, too. I was like, I just got the name Razor because he was supposed to be his gimmick was a fucking cocaine dealer from Cuba. I never got that in my entire childhood. My adulthood until, like, recently. And I feel stupid for that.
The Razor's Edge. He just had this huge cokehead-looking dude.
What?
The Razor. Super badass.
The Razor Ramon is a cool character and name. It was a bit dated. It was basically a Scarface, like, and then they made him buff.
But he made himself.
Yeah. He tells the story of how he brought the gimmick to Vince, too, and, like, he did that voice the first time, like, I'm the bad, you need a bad guy, I'm the bad guy, and that kind of thing. And,
like,
he just said Vince popped for it, but, like, anything that Scott Hall said, you probably got to take it with a grain of salt, too.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like 12 or 13 years after the fucking movie came out, you know? Like, it wasn't like it just recently happened.
You know? Totally. Yeah,
it's like somebody coming out with a fucking, I don't know, a McLovin character, like, right now. It's like, dude, that was like 15 years ago.
Oh, you mean Orange Cassidy?
Orange Cassidy, yeah, that's a good one.
Did we do, how far did we go last week, Christian? Did we do, because I'm looking at, like, Stacy Keebler, Tama Tonga.
We basically said everybody last week on October.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went pretty far in the list, actually. I saw him. Yeah.
No, wait a minute, man. I didn't say everybody last week, bro. I said, here's how we do the birthday, bro. Here's how we do the birthday. We do the birthdays like this. We start out on tonight, okay, which is the 12th. And we go all the way up until the 18th. Whoever has a birthday between now and the 18th, which is next Monday, you mention them. It's that easy, bro. I think you got it.
That's what I thought, but all I kind of swore you mentioned Kenny Omega.
Yeah, so starting with the 12th, we had Karen Jarrett. Who can forget that lovely? Who wants to talk about Karen Jarrett? I'm on the heel. I'm trying to get this shit worked out, guys, so please, I'll be right back.
All right.
Ring rat.
Duke the Dumpster.
Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry.
Let's see. Karen Jarrett.
Dumpster.
Did you? Did Kevin just mention Duke? Duke the Dumpster drug dude?
Yeah. 1970. There's a lot of good ones. Christian, you keep going, buddy.
All right. Wrestlers born on October 12th. Let's see. Well, there's what Karen Jarrett, so let's start with her. In case people don't know who Karen Jarrett is, she was the former wife of Kurt Angle before they had a messy divorce. And, you know, she married to Jeff Jarrett, which, you know, they had a real-life beef with each other in TNA. So there's that. Any thoughts of Karen Jarrett, guys?
It got really awkward in TNA for a minute, didn't it? Even with the storylines, it got like really fucking awkward for a minute. You know, that's all I gotta say about that. But yeah, I mean, she seems like a lovely lady. You know, like whatever. But you know, it's just
they like
am I still
they
here?
Led reality into the show, I guess.
Wait, dude, if you're gonna take her on a date, where would you take her?
If I would.
If you were going to take her on a date, where would you take her?
I wouldn't take her on a date. I sure as hell wouldn't take her to a wrestling show, I'll tell you that.
That's fair. That's fair. That's solid.
I wouldn't take her to meet the boys in the back, you know?
Yeah.
I see one name on the list.
Anything behind the curtain, no.
I see one name on the list, and it's somebody I might take on a date, and that's Miss Stacey Keebler, everybody.
Hello,
happy birthday.
Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Fucking Block Talk Radio fucking kicked me out for no reason whatsoever. That was fucking rude.
Uh-oh. Be back. Stacey Keebler.
I thought my call dropped there for a second, too, and I was like, what the hell? It was just silent, but I guess everybody was just in awe of my
I'm fucking sick.
They're doing it again. God damn it. Doing it again.
We can hear everything loud and clear, boys.
Christian, let's take down Blog Talk Radio. Let's do it.
Let's quit doing birthdays.
Yeah, okay. Let's do one last birthday, and then we move on to this day in history. Rodney Mack, age 51 today. Anybody remember Rodney Mack?
Rodney Mack, San Antonio boy.
I remember him.
He was a manager. He was managed by Teddy Long back then.
Yeah. He does a lot of training in the independent San Antonio. He's married to Jazz now. If you guys know that, I've been married for a while, but. They run the Dog Pound Dojo over here on the north side of San Antonio, Texas. Never met the guy, but seems like a really cool dude.
I think he worked with Loco also. I'm almost positive that he worked with Loco.
Yeah. There is a working relationship between them and Loco, but seems like a really good guy.
Happy birthday!
Yeah. And on a side note, I love San Antonio. Like, if I was going to move somewhere, I'd probably move there.
Yeah.
Or around there. My brother lives out in Bernie.
Oh, Bernie's beautiful, man. Bernie's a beautiful city. And you know who else thinks Bernie's beautiful, believe it or not, is Bill Goldberg. And he made that his home now. So he's out there kicking it with your brother.
He probably is kicking it. No, my brother's claim to fame is like he went and worked out one day and he saw Shawn Michaels in the same gym. And he called me. He's like, I saw Shawn
Michaels.
It was like 10 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Sean was like doing like a 2-hour long yoga routine before he could actually work out.
Probably.
Did y'all see that video where Sean's he's like, I have to do this every day when I wake up. And it's like 2 hours of stretching and shit. Like the poor guy's body's fucking destroyed. Like he's like, I just got to stretch and sometimes it hurts and sometimes it doesn't.
I got to do this every morning. If I don't do this workout every morning, I'm going to lose more strands of hair, you know?
I think he got his eyes closed.
All right.
I think he got surgery.
I think Shawn Michaels is down to 4 strands. I don't know if you've ever seen a recent picture of him. He's got about 4 or 5 strands of hair in his head that are still waving around. So that's good, you know?
All
right. Happy birthday to everybody on this day. Now it's time to do this day in history, which, you know, I could do this. 18 years ago today, gentlemen, on a random Monday Night Nitro in Chicago, Illinois, Sting and his Dingo Warrior partner, The Warrior, faced Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan and defeated them via disqualification. Now, I must remind you, gentlemen, that this was the first and last WCW Nitro match that the Warrior faced because he was a schmuck. He was a schmuck. You remember this one was horrible. And his wrestling was shit. This was right after Halloween Havoc where Warrior had that god-awful match against Hulk Hogan. So, you know, there you go. Warrior was shit. Any thoughts?
Go ahead, Al. Oh, I was going to say 4 guys in the ring getting a paycheck. That sounds like about it. That's it.
Warrior is a very polarizing, maybe might be the word. I don't know. He's like a character that, like, I think everybody should kind of not like Warrior, the person. but the wrestler and the gimmick was super badass and kind of done right sometimes. Overall, it did not work, and it was impossible for probably anybody to carry that gimmick. This was probably a low point in the Warrior character. But, I don't know. Warrior and Hogan, it makes me think of that promo that they cut for WWF where he's like, you got to aim the jet plane straight down. Hulk Hogan, and then you will be close to parts unknown. You know? And like, there's more.
So, watching it as a kid,
yes.
I loved the Ultimate Warrior, like just him coming out. Yeah, as you get older, like you can see it, you see stuff, like you see all that, whatever. They were trying to make a paycheck. He was trying, like that's all he knew how to do. That's what he knew how to do. So, I bet he made fat from that match.
On paper, the Warrior gimmick is really badass, but like
only one person can do it.
I don't see anybody doing it.
Only him can do it.
Yeah, but he still sucked at it. Is what I'm saying.
If anything, you know what I mean? Like, and I know the concept of part-timers really wasn't a thing back then. I mean, yeah, you had like Dennis Rodman come in once in a while, or Bob Backlund made a return once in a while, you know what I mean? But the idea of part-timers wasn't really going on back then. And I think the Warrior would have worked better in WCW if he was like a fucking part-timer. Like, he just wrestled like 3 or 4 matches a year, and that was it. You know what I mean? And they're like big matches.
Yeah.
And he just comes in, cuts a fucking promo for a week or two, does fucking slambery, whatever the fuck, and then beats up fucking, I don't know, whoever the fuck he's feuding with on that feud, fucking Hulk Hogan with Dennis Rodman or something, or just some big fucking matches, you know? And I wish I would have done that, you know, and kind of just kept it, you know, like that, as opposed to, you know, having him appear as a fucking ghost in a mirror, you know, and... You know, come out there and fucking
like
ramble on like
too,
fucking.
I do like that.
It wouldn't be too far.
You know,
if they're in it for like at least men, like they, like maybe they love the business, but it wouldn't be too far to say that like it was, you know, just a money grab.
Yeah.
Well,
when NFL people like come back, it's just a money grab.
Yeah,
it was all about
like Mike Tyson, real quick. But the thing, it was a supernatural thing, you know, and it was. I thought it was badass when I was like, you know, 10 years old, you know what I mean, like whatever. But looking back on it, I was like, dude, like, and I get it, you know, I might be skewed by like what culture and all those YouTube videos they have out nowadays, you know what I mean? That might skew my opinion a little bit. And I hate to say it, but yeah, it was kind of fucking cheesy. You know what I mean? Like why were we the only ones able to see the Warrior, and Hogan was able to see the Warrior, but for some reason Eric Bischoff was able to see the Warrior in the mirror? You know, like I don't know.
It's because it was the ghost of his past. Ooh.
So in other words, it was like, okay, they're kind of breaking the fourth wall there. You know what I mean? Like it is like Scrooge, you know what I mean? Or A Christmas Story where it's like, oh yeah, Hogan's revisiting the ghost of his past. Yeah. You're actually watching a teleplay. Like I like for all the characters, including myself, because I view like the audience as a character as well, in wrestling. You know, we're characters. We're looking into this little world here. But it's almost like we were watching like a fucking teleplay or a movie, and it just didn't sit right. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah.
Why the fuck doesn't Eric Bischoff see this mirror? You know, like why?
It's because he never knew Ultimate Warrior, but Hogan did. He saw the ghost of the one man he couldn't defeat. And it haunted him through the
I'm sure they weren't in the company at the same time. I would hope they weren't. But didn't WCW make, like, a fake-ass warrior called the Renegade? And they, like, tried to debut him in a way where they tried to make everybody think that it was Warrior, that it was Jim, whatever his name was or whatever before. They tried to make it – they made everybody think it was the same dude, but it was a fucking copycat. And then they bring the real Warrior in. It just makes it look like, wow.
Yes.
Even as a kid, you know, it was real.
It fucking sucked.
It wasn't real.
He was a male stripper.
That was Hogan's idea. And when Hogan came in like 94, 95, that's when they started doing this fucking weird shit. Because it was like, Hogan's like, I got this idea for a character, brother. We have a long-haired guy with face paint who runs to the ring. And, you know, it's going to be great, man. And tell you what, brother, that's what we're going to – I'm going to be here.
Yeah,
and I'm going to
– Real good
go
impression there, you
guy.
Prick.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Hulk Hogan even said this on the promo where he was introducing the Renegade, that he said this is not the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, no. The dog's going to sleep to his mom.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
By the way, that lady that you guys were talking about earlier, that British lady, that was her telling Albert, getting her dad to tell Albert, real good impression there, you prick.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking back, guys, but I'm doing the show in a totally different way here. I don't have the fucking headphones to my phone.
Yep.
The toilet and my computer's fucking up. Like it won't let me sign in again. Anyway, the whole thing is moot. But nevertheless, I'm back. I'm on speakerphone. And welcome to my world tonight. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, I do have sound effects.
So you have to do the show. You have to do the show like one of us plebes, one of us filthy, lowly peasants that has to call on her phone every week.
Yeah.
Or like
I do like to lead the way like that. You know, I consider myself the head pissant, the head fucking.
You sit there in your ivory tower, and you talk about the John 3:16.
Real question, Minister. Do I continue the wrestling history, or do I give it back to you?
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead and continue to the wrestling history. However, one more birthday should be noted, and that is all coming up this weekend, October 16th, we have the birthday of none other than me.
Hey.
Minister, October 16th.
Oh, no.
Christian, do it. Happy birthday for Chuck.
Bye.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And of course, after Tony Khan found out about it, he went ahead and scheduled a show for me on my birthday coming up this Saturday, AEW Rampage, AEW
Dynamite
Saturday. Yes. How about that? Tony Khan fucking coming through. If you can give him a round of applause.
Chuck, your birthday. You're gonna share a birthday with the inaugural TBS Women's Championship title tournament.
And I'm gonna love it.
Wow.
I'm gonna love it. I'm gonna enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah.
But I digress. So anyway, get that out of the way. And then continue with the history, Christian. Kicky wee.
All right. On the same night of Nitro 18 years ago, we had also Monday Night Raw, people. From Uniondale, New York, Ken Shamrock defeated X-Pac to win the vacated WWF Intercontinental Champion. Now, if you may be wondering, why was X-Pac the Intercontinental Champion to begin with? The title was vacated 3 days earlier when Triple H suffered a knee injury during a house show. So X-Pac's title reign only came to an end by 3 days. So what a great IC title reign.
Well, so he released the title and just gave it to X-Pac or what?
I guess it was vacated or something, or you know. But still, X-Pac didn't win. Ken Shamrock won. I'm more interested in how the Triple H blew his knee in a house show. What match where he was in that caused him to blew his knee? That's the most interesting part of this article.
He does a lot of knee moves, man. I mean, that's like his knee jumps thing that he does is one of my favorite wrestling moves. That little knee up and down bullshit that he does when he comes off the ropes. I don't even know what it's called, but I love that shirt.
It's the knee drop.
And then coming down on the pedigree, you would think that doing pedigrees after years, too, man, like that's one move that probably does some damage.
You know, CFP, I was thinking that this was going to be, I read through all this shit before we go, you know, before we spill it on the show and try to pick out which ones I want to talk about. And this one was one that, you know, I wanted to talk about it, but I was curious to see what you were going to say about it because, you know, you're the guy that always comes in and you're like, well, yeah, that was this was at the time when this and that happened. So actually, it's quite shocking, my friend, that you don't know.
No, it's just, I wouldn't really care. I mean, the IC title scene was kind of garbage even back then, so.
Well, obviously, if Xbox, no hate to Sean Waltman, like, I like Xbox, but no, I don't remember
man,
like, a time where he was like a valiant IC champion, no. I would have never guessed that he had been there.
Man. Dan Severn's going to kick your ass, Christian.
Well,
Dan Severn, he'll punch you with his mustache.
He's gonna wrap you with his mustache and take you to fucking town, buddy.
When Dan Severn goes to the grocery store, instead of buying chewing gum, he just buys a pack of Xbox.
Oh shit!
It's the green kind too. He like just comes. It's like Xbox little spearmint.
He buys a pack of Xbox.
This one's the most disrespectful of them all, I would think.
Dan Severn jokes, I love them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't change the name of the music, so I still have it under the other guy, and I forget who the other guy is.
the other guy actually, whenever Dan Severn decided to use that music, the other guy just deleted himself from existence.
There you go. He deleted himself from my mind for sure.
We used to have this ongoing joke that like Dan Severn was like running from like a very far distance.
He's running towards
like him. He's like thousands of miles away, but he's like running to like come kill you. And like it's like Dan Severn's still running to come get you.
Yeah.
He's like running.
Probably.
Like go
this next from this next one. This next one's fucking stupid. Are you ready for this? This one's so disrespectful, it's not even funny. Seven years ago today, on Raw, in Indianapolis, Indiana, Jillian Hall defeated Mickie James in just 76 seconds to win the Divas Championship. That's not the disrespectful part. That's not the fucked up part.
She would lose
the title less than 5 minutes later when guest host Nancy O'Dell orders a match against the returning Melina. Melina would defeat Jillian in just 26 seconds to win the Divas Championship.
Wow.
Now, all the female wrestlers at that time were just glass cannons. They like had one badass finishing move, but they had like zero HP. Like, they would take one hit and just be down. One, two, three.
That one finishing move, one twirly move, you know? Like,
yeah.
one badass finishing move. Kevin, and then, like, one, like, twirly move where it's, like, you, like, twirl around or something. Like, either sideways or horizontally, you just kind of twirl around,
yeah.
You know? Well, that makes the guys go, ooh, you know? Ooh, look at the twirly move, you know? And
Christian.
Fantastic.
Christian, did you... What were you saying?
No, that this was a disgrace.
Did you see this match this past week with Mickie James where she was fighting in the farmyard, in the barnyard or whatever?
Yeah, she got an ass kick at her own house.
Yeah. Chuck, what's happening? Oh no.
What a stop.
We're returning. We're going back to 2012 when CM Punk was still the champion. What do you think?
Wow, we are back, folks. We are back. All right, we're back live. Everything is back to normal now, guys. That's what it took right there. We had to fucking reignite it, and that's exactly what we did. Can we get that song again?
Who was singing that? Sing that again right now.
I can't dig. Oh, no, we went too far. It's Terry Gordy. Well, man, I see Bill and Ted. Oh, no. We went back in time, and we ended up in Dusty Rhodes' muffler.
What you boys doing back there, Daddy?
Tell us about it, Dusty. Tell us about it.
Oh, damn. It's like a time warp continuum opened in my muffler, Daddy. I done fell over and some boys from 2021. They showed me a picture of my son Cody, and he got a real ugly neck tattoo. We got to go to the year 2020 and stop Cody from getting that neck tattoo, baby.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Oh, God. You know what? It's freaking it's Magnum T.A. coming back. Magnum T.A. is dressed like Doc. Or is... Sorry.
All right.
No, that was a great idea. And I wish Dusty Rhodes could come back.
Oh, that was good shit, man. Yeah. Definitely be a trip.
Oh, my God.
All right. In the meantime, we could always do this.
To control the entire universe.
Freddie who? Freddie Mercury.
Freddie who? Call me Freddie Mercury one more time.
Call me Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
All right. Christian, the history.
One last day in history. 2 years ago today, TNA and Wrestle One co-presented Bound for Glory X from Kyokuin Hall in Tokyo, Japan. This was the Bound for Glory that went to Japan at one point, this one show, and it fucking sucked. I'm telling you this right now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know who the fuck these people were. I didn't know why they had these matches. The world championship wasn't even defended in this fucking pay-per-view, by the way. We had Minoru Tanaka defeated Manic. That's suicide, by the way, in case people didn't know. We had EC3 defeated Ryota Hama. Don't know who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
We had MVP. We had MVP versus Kazuma Sakamoto. Don't know who the fuck that is. We had Samoa Joe defeated Loki and Kaz Hayashi in a three-way match to retain the X Division Championship. I do know who Loki is. I don't know who the fuck the other guy is. Andy Ru and
I feel like you're just making up names at this point, and with like kind of like credible people that we know from America. It's like Duke the Dumpster Drozzy took on Yoshava Tahita in a fucking Texas Tornado match with Christopher Daniels as a special guest referee. It's like all this shit could have just fucking happened, and we'll never know because that fucking pay-per-view did suck. I don't remember it either, but yeah, you could just make up any fucking random ass match and insert it into that with like some like sounding names, and you'll have nobody will tell the difference.
We had Andy Wu and El Hijo del Pantera versus Nuva, which is a team of Jiro Kurushio.
Yep.
And
how many years ago
Kodama?
Was
that? That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
I don't think Samoa Joe was in fact 2 years ago.
That was seven years ago. You forgot to add the 5 years.
It's right here. 2 years ago today.
Yeah, bro, but the article was written 5 years ago. You got to go back and add the 5 years.
Well, it's still in the category.
Yeah, it's all good. But it was 7 years ago. Eight years ago. No, actually, it's because, you know, I've made that mistake many a night, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm just coaching Christian through that shit, man. You know, eventually he'll get it. I've made that mistake many a night. And the beauty of it is that you guys never know when. Although every now and again you get a question like Albert just brought up, you know, hey, wait a minute, wasn't so and so and fucking But I digress. But 13 years ago,
wasn't Yoshida Tanahashi wrestling for pro wrestling Noah at the same time? It wasn't Duke the Drumster Josie fucking in a hotel somewhere, fucking cracked ass.
Now you're just making these names up.
That match could have happened then. Yes, Devin wasn't there.
13 years ago, and I know you guys got to remember this shit. The wrestler makes its United States premiere at the New York Film
Festival. I love that movie.
Yeah, of course. Everybody loves that. It's a great movie, man. Film was directed by Darren Aronofsky, and it chronicles aging wrestler Robin Rumzinski, a.k.a. Randy the Ram Robinson. And he's trying to recapture the fame of the 1980s heyday. And you know what that means? There was a lot of coke around, baby. And he's all doing this while maintaining a relationship with his estranged daughter and his stripper girlfriend. Oh, my gosh.
None other than Marissa Tomei. Truly, Marissa Tomei.
Funny you brought up the character.
It's an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
In the cast, the cast included a lot of wrestlers such as Zazaro. Zazaro made a small appearance on there, but also one that actually I worked with, Necro Butcher. And this he just came up. Like, he was just coming up when I was doing the TWA deal. And he did that exact same thing that he did in the wrestling. He did it right before my very eyes at a fucking parking lot in Lufkin, Texas. In Lufkin, Texas, we're in a fucking parking lot, and he did the exact same thing, man, with the pulled out the can, had the shit under the ring, you know, pulled it out, set it up with the barbed wire and all that shit, pulled out the Roncinol. And fucking lit it up, and he just knew he was going to be the one to go through there. And sure enough, he was, and it was badass. It was a badass moment, man. I remember marking out for that shit. Necro fucking Butcher, man. It was badass. But so many other guys were in that. Ernest Miller. You guys know Ernest Miller.
The cat.
Yeah, the cat. Yeah.
The cat. He was in there. So Zazaro was in it. Let's see. Larry Sweeney.
R-Truth, isn't it?
Anybody know? Yeah, R-Truth.
Yeah.
Ron freaking Killings, baby. Thank you. Great freaking movie, man. I loved it. I love that movie. And Mickey O'Rourke, I think he did a badass job on it.
There's an ending of the movie where they implied that he died after he did a splash on the top rope because of his heart condition.
Yeah.
I don't really think he died. I don't really think he fucking died because we didn't actually see him fucking die.
Yeah.
That's what makes that movie.
Yeah, I thought about this too. It does, but it's also like, dude, it's also like this shit's continuing forever. Like, this dude's not going to fucking stop. And you know what? It wasn't like, you know, you're not going to have... I thought about this long and hard, too, for a very long time. For many years, actually, about what happened to Randy the Ram at the end of The Wrestler. And I'm going to say he just took the fucking move and won the match. And that was it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then he continued on. You know what I mean?
Like,
or I think that was his retirement match.
It's like symbolism. It's like he had, at that point in the movie, he put everything on the line. Not only had he put everything in the match on the line, he was sacrificing, whether he lived or died, whatever, we get that. But he had sacrificed the match and the stuff outside of the match. And so there's no reason to think that he didn't live,
well,
other than just that it blacks out.
Yeah.
They tell you that he could die.
But I mean, I'm with y'all.
Well,
he cut that
promo to where it was like, I guess it was before the match. But he's like, y'all are my only family. Like, you guys out here, because he had lost his, he would try to get in touch with his daughter. And, like, he had lost, like, that. And he was like, this is what I had. This is who I am. I'm a wrestler. The wrestler,
yeah, but
whatever.
Just a little question.
Blah, blah, blah. There's a better wrestling movie, though. There's not one.
So I know some other interesting facts about the wrestler, too, though. Like, that other movie, the same director made that movie called Black Swan. And I've only watched it once, and it, like, kind of went over my head. But if anybody's never seen it, it's like about a ballerina dancer that like starts to turn into a fucking swan, like a bird. She starts to get feathers and stuff. And this guy wrote these scripts at the same time. Black Swan and The Wrestler were supposed to be like a not a double feature, but like two stories. It was supposed to be one movie with like two stories intertwined. And it was going to be Black Swan and The Wrestler together in one movie. And then he split it into two movies and it became this thing.
Kevin, I think we all know the reason why people watch The Black Swan. I think we all know the real reason. No.
Yeah, I think it's Natalie Portman plays her.
Mila Kunis.
That one scene with Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman. I think that's the real reason why people watch the movie.
Gotcha. I haven't seen it in forever. I might watch
what
it
happened?
Right now, buddy. Thanks for looking
what
out.
Happened? Please describe it in detail.
Well, they become disclaimer. This is a movie, by the way. They become lesbians and they have sex. So that's the real reason why people watch this movie.
Yeah.
That's not very detailed, actually.
I call that HLA, brother. HLA.
Well, here you yes, HLA for sure. And here we go, guys. Apparently, the movie. There was a myth going around that it was based on the life of Jake the Snake Roberts, but of course, as I said, that was just a myth. However, he's been in rough shape himself, though. I mean, I've once seen him leave his snake behind after he got pissed off at the promoter because he wouldn't get the money he promised him. He was all pissed off and fucking got in a fight with the promoter and he took off and then he had to come back to get his fucking snake because he forgot it.
The other rumor about the wrestler is that Hulk Hogan, I just watched a video about this, but Hulk Hogan swears that he was like chosen to be, he was the one that the script was written for to play Randy the Ram. It's like, I watched this video of like all the lies that Hulk Hogan's ever told, and that was one of the top ones. And they said the director and everybody involved in the movie was like, no. And Hulk Hogan says that he was supposed to be the guy.
I watched all those movies in the early 90s as a kid, and that dude could not pull off that part whatsoever.
Let me tell you something, Kevier. If anybody can play that part, it's me. Because that part was written about me. It was written about me, brother.
You wrote a movie about a wrestler? Hulk. I've lived the life of a wrestler. I am a wrestler, brother.
Here's the big question though in the entire film that was never answered besides the ending, and it involves the ending too, by the way. Was Randy booked to win the match? Was he booked to win?
Of course
no,
he was.
He wasn't.
Wait,
because
what?
He was. That was the end of his actual career.
Yeah. Me personally, what I took out of that is like he was going there to die in the ring. He wanted to die in the ring.
Yeah, that's painful.
He wanted to go out to be a hero, like his own hero, like in.
It's the Sopranos ending, dude. It's the blackout ending where you don't know what happens. Like it could be.
Right.
The way we
I know what happened in The Sopranos.
So what? Ernest the Cat Miller or Ayatollah just fucking like moved out of the way. Right, he moved out of the way and put his feet up and kicked Randy in the face.
Yeah. No, I think what was going to happen, right, if the movie didn't cut to black, I think the guy who was laying on the mat was going to move out of the way and then hit his finisher and Randy would have lost.
Interesting. And so
why are you going all heel turn on a movie that he was, like, clearly, like, he looked at the crowd and he was crying before he dropped the ram, dude. Like, he was going to die. That was the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, but he could still die if he landed on the mat either way. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, even if he hit him or didn't hit him, his fucking chest was going to explode the moment he was going to hit that fucking mat. And disclaimer. Yeah, disclaimer, this is a fucking movie, people. This is not real life we're talking about, okay?
If I may just be a little bit of a hound dog one more time, like y'all were talking about the HLA and the Black Swan movie, but like the wrestler has Marissa Tomei, like topless, bro. Like that's awesome. That's a bonus too. Like let's get a Buick Skylark does not have Posi traction.
Yeah, no Posi traction. How could you be so sure?
Sorry.
You get my cousin Vinny?
I'm just trying to figure out who's making all that fucking noise back there.
One noise.
There's a bunch of fucking.
I'm sorry, buddy. I got a cold beer.
And I've also been practicing kung fu while we're doing this.
My bad.
Oh, well, that explains it. Hey, so let's go ahead and take this break. And then we'll come back and we'll fucking wrap up. I got some questions, though, because there's some things going on. And then are we supposed to have a quiz tonight even? There's no time to talk about WWE and how much it fucking sucks tonight. We still got a lot of shit.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, there's
come
no time.
On. We have to.
I mean, 10 minutes tops. There's no time to fucking lag on that. We all fucking hate it, bro. We all fucking hate it, including you. You're leading the charge.
Can we at least talk about the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring then?
We'll talk about
it.
We'll set no time limit. Yeah, there you go.
We have to let our people go.
But we don't have to have too much detail on it because it's a We got to let that go at some point, man, because it's too much already.
Yeah.
So let's take this fucking break and we'll be right. No, wait a minute. We're gonna go out with this fucking deal. I lost my place, guys. What the fuck, man? Stop it. And we'll be right back after.
I'm sick of all these people talking out their heads. I've never understood a damn thing that they said. From word to action, never knowing what they're about. I guess I'll have to shoot them up and sit them out. And I said,
you're on the air with Beta Boy Radio. What's going on?
So Roman Reigns doesn't need anything. All of y'all are just haters because he just needs less clothes.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute.
I've been listening for a while. I am calling from America.
And what was the comment on Roman Reigns?
That he needs less clothes to like him.
Like Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
There's a couple of guys like
no,
he doesn't do anything.
Wear this speedo that looks like they're naked out there.
She brings up a valid point, guys. Just last week, actually. We were talking about Alexa Bliss and how some asshole was fucking comparing her ass from her NXT days. And then this week, Alexa Bliss debuted a new outfit that she was showing a little ass cheek there, guys.
Kind of like a fucking thing,
Holler, what did you think about the Alexa Bliss, the new outfit? Should she be showing more skin as well?
Everyone should show more skin.
Yes.
Everyone should show more skin on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned.
Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Walk for miles inside this pit of danger. A place where no one follows me. I want to know.
All right, welcome back, Fatal Four Way.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinisters. I'm sitting here with Rancho Punker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Special guest tonight,
oh yeah,
Ricky. That's right. Ricky's on board tonight. Tonight, baby.
Tell us again.
Hey, baby.
I was going to say, tell us again how we're back to the show, baby. Tell us again how we're back to the show.
We're back to the show, baby.
We're back in the show, baby.
That's
baby,
right.
What you want
to
hear,
what are we
baby?
Listening to again?
Back in the show, baby.
We're back. We're back in the show, man. That's how we roll, man. That's how we roll. I mean, we can have back to the show music if you want. A little back to the show.
I could do a singing thing.
We can do a little back.
You ready
to the
for
show
it?
Music. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Do it.
Do it. Back in the show, Fatal Four-Way.
Oh, God. Boom.
Okay, wait.
Back in the show, Fatal Four-Way.
Oh.
We have a big AEW and Rampage and WWE SmackDown weekend on Friday night. They've ignited a feud against each other, and I like how Tony Khan is saying that, oh, man, it's not about competition. It's not about the competition. Stop it. You're the one talking shit, and you're saying it's not about the competition. It's about the competition. Stop it. He's starting to talk too much, and that's just all there is to it. He's starting to talk too much. In other words, they're going to have to win this fucking fight because he's been talking a lot of shit. Christian, what do you think? Tony Khan, is he going to have to beat them in the ratings this week? Frankly, I'm hoping he does, bro. To me, he does. He's been talking a lot
really
of shit,
happen.
And now he's fucking saying that, oh, wait a minute. It's not about, you know, who wins. It's not about the competition. Well, yes, it is. He's been fucking talking shit all along, and now he's fucking, you know, it's not about the competition.
I think you're talking about the wrong person here. I think you should be going towards Vince McMahon because he's the stupid fuck that, you know, made an extra 30 minutes in a 2-hour show for no reason whatsoever.
I wanted to touch on that, though. Yeah, I did. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, what's the purpose of that shit? Why are they adding 30 minutes to it?
Because they're in a channel that nobody fucking watches. They're going to be FS1 this week because of the MLB playoffs, because it's Friday.
Which
and
is
the
Astros versus the, you know, Red Sox. We're going to whip up some more socks. We're going to wear more socks on cocks, baby.
Do you think that MLB is going to win the ratings? You bring me into the fold? Do you think that MLB is going to take the ratings war? Yes. Yes, they will.
Yes, they are. Yes,
I mean,
they are because nobody...
Go ahead. Do you ever cry? Christian, are you okay? Do you ever smile?
No,
Christian, do you smile? Christian, tell me. Are you okay?
No, they're not going to win the ratings against MLB because they're going to be in – the reason why they're doing 30 minutes is because they're in a channel nobody fucking watches. Nobody fucking watches Fox Sports News. That's Fox's least watched channel ever. So that's why they added 30 minutes because nobody's going to fucking watch SmackDown on FS1.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've been watching my share of FS1 this week. You know, the Astros have been on FS1 all week.
I'm sorry the Phillies didn't get in, buddy. Like, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about that.
So they're running shows against each other and baseball's on? That's going on the same night?
Yeah.
I reckon that's what the case is, yeah. And the shocker here is WWE adding an extra 30 minutes to their show. What the fuck is the purpose of that? Albert Inspected, what do you think? Are they fucking poking at WWE? Are they...
You know what? Can you hear me?
You know what, motherfucker? Yeah, we can. We can hear you perfectly. Is this Vince McMahon saying, you know what, motherfucker? You want to talk shit? We're going to go fucking... We're going to put the bomb on you, Friday. Is that what this is?
The night that CM Punk was supposed to debut on AEW Rampage, that night, my cousin, and I'm not going to say who, or I shouldn't have even said cousin, but my insider source to this local affiliate at this time, he works for the Fox affiliate over in Austin. They had an email, and this is all insider information too. They had an email earlier that afternoon, before Rampage, before SmackDown, that the news was going to be delayed, that WWE was requesting more time on the Fox syndicated or the Fox networks, and that the news is going to go on 15 to 20 minutes later or something like that. And so they were already trying to do that. Now, what happened was,
oh,
I don't know why they didn't do that.
CM Punk went on air right away. And so then they didn't have the need to do that, I would imagine. Wow.
They decided not to because, I mean, I'm assuming they can make special requests to do that, much like how NFL or you know, baseball game or whatever goes over time and then the news just gets pushed back. So I'm assuming it's no different than wrestling. If it's a special occasion, like, hey, can we push back, you know, the affiliates a little bit? So they were already prepared. They were already prepared to start the news at a later time after SmackDown, and that for some reason it just didn't happen. They just went live at our time, 9 o'clock. The news went live, Rampage went live at 9 o'clock. Went on too as well. So I don't know why that happened, and I made a report on that on Pro Wrestling Planet. Go like the page, go like the group, you know. But then everybody started calling me out that I was full of shit. I felt kind of bad about that, but it's whatever. So it's no surprise that they're doing this now. Now that they have a chance. Maybe Fox got mad at them. Maybe the news people or collective agents, whatever, got mad at WWE and said, "Hey, no, you can't fucking do this shit. We're not going to do it." So they decided against it. And maybe them going to FS1 for the night. Maybe they have more leeway to do something like this. And I think they're taking full advantage.
Yeah, I think they have more flexibility. For sure.
Yeah. So of course they're going to do the extra 30 minutes, of course, just to fuck with Rampage. And that's exactly the only reason why they're doing it is to fuck with AEW. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's great. I think it's going to make for a night of interesting television. Now, if WWE, you know, goes balls to the wall like they should, only time will tell. Or is it going to be Roman Reigns for fucking 30 minutes? Who knows? But we'll see.
Well, Roman Reigns for 8 minutes can be good if done well.
I might roll the dice. I've gone like 3 weeks without watching this shit, but I might watch this episode. I think I'm going to, just because of the situation. I think that they do, like you said, Albert, they should go all in. They're going to blow it, dude. They're going to blow it. I know. I would bet money right now that they blow it.
Okay, look, dude, AEW has all the juice. They have all the
juice.
Juice,
baby. They got the juice.
The juice. The orange juice. And, like, they're putting out, like, pay-per-view-style matches on, like, public television. Like, it's not even pay-per-view stuff. Yeah, public television.
It's not CBS, my friend.
Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? They're putting out pay-per-view style matches, and everything's good. They have the juice, man. They just have it. That's my take on that.
Yeah. We both watched AEW. I've been calling for AEW to just say fuck it and make it 2 hours. You know, make Rampage 2 hours. I mean, I would be down with that because, you know, like right now, it's not like I'm fucking putting much time into WWE, Raw or SmackDown for that matter. You know, so AEW is my main show. Yeah, AEW is my main show right now. So, I would like to see an extension of that shit. I've been calling for that. But we'll see how it develops, man, because the feud has definitely ignited. And we have an AEW Dynamite Saturday edition, which they can also use to fucking counter. And I wanted to talk to the Watchdog about this. Christian from Philly, what drives them to do stuff? What the fuck is this? Is this like a free pay-per-view or some shit? Or I mean, like, why do show, are they going to have one on Wednesday as well? Or I'm lost here.
What, SmackDown?
Is this normal? Yeah, AEW. Is this normal for them to do? I mean, I know it's my birthday and all, you know, and Tony Khan and shit, but
no,
you know, the whole
thing. They're just doing it for baseball reasons. It's all for the playoffs.
Because Tony loves you.
So are they going to have a show Wednesday night?
Yes, they're going to have a show Wednesday night. This is just for the playoffs, that's why.
So obviously they're just doing it for my birthday then. Oh, thank you, Tony. Remind me to tell my people to send his people a gift basket or something. No.
Super.
Thank you. Oh,
it's not only
that's great.
It's not only
a gift basket from Friendly Fire Cigars. I'm Gary Ashford. He's in Texas.
There you go. Hey, but listen, it's a special. They can do whatever the hell they want. A Dynamite Saturday edition. I mean, what are you expecting from this? I think it's going to be a great show.
It will be a great show.
Right, I'm thinking better than normal. I don't know. This
Chuck,
is totally different for me. I've never seen anything like this from a company.
Chuck, did you watch this week's? Did you watch Wednesday
nights? I did.
Night's?
I sure as hell did.
I mean,
I watched it last
Saturday,
week. I've been watching
Saturday
it every week.
I think it's going to be just as good as that was, if not better. I mean, and that was like a fucking badass pay-per-view.
Yeah, I would imagine it's going to be better. I would imagine that it's going to be something special, actually. And I don't know. I'm expecting a badass weekend of wrestling.
Not from SmackDown. Fucking called Supersize. They're bringing in Brock Lesnar again. And that's about it. That's all they advertised.
Yeah. Stay tuned for more on this weekend because the feud has ignited and also we have a special Saturday edition of AEW Dynamite and now I think it's only proper that we go into the,
and now, ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, Fatal 4-Way Radio presents Quiz Time with your host, the Villanelli with the Chili on the Willy, Christian from Philly.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AEW Quiz Show. I am your host, Christian from Philly. Last week, Minister of Sinister and Kevier West were competing against each other, and Minister of Sinister lost by 1 to 2 points. So right now we're back with the usual contestants, but joining us also is Albert Inspected and Ricky participating in this quiz show. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
No.
So what's the rule again? We just yell out the answer, or we go in order?
No, he's gonna call out people, or I don't know how we do it.
I'm gonna say the question. You guys have 10 seconds to think this question over to yourselves, and I go one by one and ask you for your answers. Whoever gets it right, I say whoever gets it right, but whoever gets it wrong, they get wrong. All right.
That's
right.
Right.
All
That's
right,
it.
First question.
We get it wrong.
The first question. Who was the first member to get kicked out of the Elite?
Who was the... Okay, here goes the music.
10 seconds.
15.
15, yeah, 15 seconds.
15.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Time's up. Albert, what is your answer?
Heidenreich.
Oh, stop it.
Wrong. Wrong. No point. Ricky, what is your answer?
Ricky?
Adam Page.
Correct.
Correct.
You get a point so far. So far, you get a point. Kevier, what is your question answer?
Well, you told him that Adam Page is the right answer. But you got to get all of our answers.
He gets a point so far. He gets a point so far. But what's your answer?
I think it's a trick question, and I'll explain why.
That's your question.
It's because the Elite existed before AEW existed, and I think that Marty Scurll was a member of the Elite, and he got kicked out of the Elite before Hangman.
It's an AEW.
But I think
AEW quiz.
This is called the AEW quiz show.
If it's an AEW quiz, then Adam Page was definitely the first person to get kicked out of the Elite.
All right, you got a point, too. Minister, what is your point? What is your answer?
Oh, well, I definitely got to go with Adam Page.
No, be truthful. Who did you thought? What was your real answer? Be truthful.
Now you want me to be truthful? Come on, man. We can't do the game
like truthful,
this.
Yeah,
be
truthful,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, in all honesty, my truthful answer would have been Chris fucking Jericho.
Wrong. So far, no, it's already not looking good. So far, Albert and Minister both have 0 points. Kevier and Ricky have 1 point.
It's already looking not good.
Kristen, you gotta save the answers for the end though.
All right.
Yeah.
I did say the end.
Ricky Kevier already feeling guilty.
Can't tell us if we got it right until the end.
Kevier already feeling guilty back there, the baby face.
All right, even though
I was gonna say Adam Page, but I was thinking about Marty Scurll, and if it was bonus points, I should have got bonus points for Marty Scurll.
No, that's not how it works.
Hey, I should get a half a point for being honest.
No, that's not how it works.
If I can't get a half a point for being honest, then fuck, why be honest?
No. All right, next question. This is a tough one. Who did Vicky Guerrero introduce in AEW?
I know this. Hold on. I know this.
15 seconds on the clock.
Hold on a minute. I gotta cue the music. I got to cue the music. All right, here we go. Who did Vicky Guerrero introduce? I think I know it.
All right, we'll start off with Kevier. Your answer? Uh-oh. What's your answer?
Yeah, okay, so another one that I think might have two answers, but I'm going to say Andrade El Idolo.
Yes.
All right,
that's my answer.
Okay, we'll
we don't know
about
if that's
that.
Correct or not.
We'll
see. Yeah. Andrade
we'll
El
see about that. We'll see about that. Ricky, what's your answer? Ricky, what is your answer?
Ricky,
I've been watching so much baseball here lately, I do not know.
All right, well, he does not get a point since he doesn't know. That's not an answer. Albert, what is your answer?
First I'll answer for Ricky, and then I'll answer for myself. Ricky's answer is Craig Biggio.
Okay, well, he still wouldn't have gotten the point.
My room, growing up.
And my answer is... my answer is because I was watching it this time, and it was before the other guy, but it was Nyla Rose.
All right, what is your answer, Minister?
What was Kevier's answer? That was my answer.
No. What's your real answer? Don't copy the other.
Okay. In that case, I forgot the question.
No, the question was, who did Vicky Guerrero introduce in AEW? What is your answer?
Oh, yeah, Vicky Guerrero. It was, it was Andrade.
All right. Well, Minister and Sister gets a point, and Kevier gets another point. So that's 2 points so far for Kevier, 1 point to Minister, 0 for Albert.
So
I'll tell you, I mean 1 point for Albert. No, 0 still for Albert. And I'll tell you why, Albert. Because
Albert, Nyla was already debuted and had been on the roster before Vicky became her manager.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes.
That's why I thought that it was a double answer.
And by the way,
I saw that too, and I was like, oh, she was fucking manager. You're right. God damn it.
And by the way, can we talk about my man crush for Nyla Rose? I mean, holy smoke.
Yeah. That's healthy. So wait. Craig
Biggio didn't get a point. No. So far, Kevier West is in the lead with 2 points. Ricky has 1 point. Minister has 1 point, and Albert has 0 points. Dead last.
Oh, dead last.
Hey y'all, Ricky tried to cheat on the last question. He pulled out his phone and started Googling, and I had to rip his phone out of his hands.
Oh hell.
Dirty dog. That dirty yellow belly dog town, Terry Funk.
To be fair, y'all didn't say we couldn't whip out our phones.
No, I'm
supposed to be fucking professional.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Yes, sir.
What?
Who?
Here's the next question, and I bet you this is a hard one for some of you. What was the name of Scorpio Sky, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian's stable?
Oh man,
I wish I knew. Fuck.
Yes.
I got it. I'm not. No Google here, my friend. No Google here.
Quit.
15 seconds are on the clock.
I got it. Come on. I'll just answer right now.
All right, then, Albert, since you're eager to go first, what is your answer?
SoCal Uncensored, my man. SoCal Uncensored. Favorite group, my favorite stable.
All right, let's see. What was your answer, Kevin?
A real dog. A real live dog.
Do me last, Christian. Do me last.
All right, Ricky, what's your answer, Ricky?
Yimmy Garcia.
What?
That's a picture.
Okay. All right, well, Ricky again does not get the point.
Ricky with the finger poke of doom.
Yeah, okay. And Minister, what is your answer?
What was the question?
What was the name of Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky's stable?
I'm going to say the Party Animals. Total guess.
Oh, right. Well, okay. Kevier, what's your answer?
Okay. And I'm really cocky right here. But I was just telling Ricky earlier, we were watching and Scorpio Sky was on there. And I was like, dude, this guy's badass. I've liked him ever since I've watched AEW. And I, like, didn't Google anything, and I thought real hard about it. The answer didn't come to mind right away, but it was SCU.
Okay, but what – I won't take letter initials. What
What was it?
Come on.
You know what? I'll give you half. I'll give you half a point for that.
They were SCU.
Oh,
yeah. It was SoCal.
University.
No, it was
SoCal University.
I'll give
You sound.
I'll give you both. You know what? I'll give you and Albert a point. I'll give you and Albert a point.
Me?
You're both correct.
What about me? I said SoCal University.
You
No, you didn't. You said the party animal.
Oh, hell. But still, they're in they're in a fraternity at SoCal University.
You realize how
stupid
you sound.
All right, so 3 points for Kevier, 2 points for Albert, 1 point for Minister, and 1 point for Ricky.
Would you please?
So far.
Okay, wait. I gotta throw a swerve. I gotta throw a swerve.
SoCal Uncensored. Jesus.
You're already lost, Ricky. Ricky, you're too late. You already lost. You already gave me your answer. You were wrong.
Too late.
Okay.
Too late, Ricky. Next week.
It's too late.
All right. Here's the next question. Who debuted in the AEW pay-per-view Revolution?
Revolution. Which one was that? Was that one that
Any
I saw recently? Wait for the music to start. Okay, that's right. What was the question again? One more time, please.
Who debuted in last year's Revolution pay-per-view?
The music.
All right. We'll go with Kevier first. Kevier, what is your answer?
Oh, it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one, but I'm going to say Miro.
All right. Ricky, what is your answer?
Miro.
Kendall Graveman. Stop.
You're not even trying anymore.
Now you're just mocking.
You're disqualified.
Oh,
yeah.
He's disqualified.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you're disqualified. You're not trying anymore.
All right.
So it's just three contestants so far. Albert, what is your answer?
Cole Cabana.
All right. Minister, what is your answer?
I got one better for you. Vicky Guerrero.
Huh?
Vicky Guerrero.
All right, well, you're all wrong. It was Christian Cage.
Boo.
It was Christian Cage.
So, and I'll just say, too, and I didn't want to ask because I thought that it would be breaking rules, but you said last year's, and it made me think. I didn't know if there was two Revolutions or not, so it made me think, like, an older debut. But it, Christian Cage
no.
was earlier this year. So,
no, it was 2020.
It was 2020, was last year Christian Cage debuted?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, anyway. I guess that's right because Edge came, it was around the same time. Yeah, you're right.
And to be fair, I apologize for being kicked out, but I should re-up on my...
Yeah, you've been watching?
I watched. I pay attention. I watch. But, sorry.
I won?
Yeah.
Or is there more questions?
There's two more questions. There's two more questions.
All right. Now
we can come back.
Two more fucking questions.
All right.
Let's see. Okay. Who was John Moxley's first ever opponent in AEW? All right. Albert, what is your answer?
Fuck, wasn't it Chris Jericho?
All right. That's your answer. Okay. Minister, what is your answer?
I will say it was John Moxley versus...
He's Googling.
No, man. Don't
Google.
I can't Google it. You guys would be able to hear me fucking doing it if I did it. It was so much Chris Jericho.
I can feel your swipe right now, buddy.
All right, so you say Chris Jericho too? Okay. Kevier, what is your answer?
Chris Jericho.
All right, well,
he's Googling.
You're all wrong again. You all were wrong again. It was Kenny Omega.
So
who also shares a birthday with me, by the way.
Yeah. Kenny was my first guest, and I don't know why I forgot. I was thinking that the championship was the first match. That's okay.
No. Kenny Omega. Oh, okay.
Roll
he's
running.
Googling. That's going to be a...
His wife. I can hear it.
That's going to be a funny finale.
Oh, my God.
He's Googling. Leave that soundbite there, Minister. Do a little type. Make a little sound from right now, Minister. He's Googling.
He's Googling.
All right, the last question. The last fucking question.
The last question.
Who debuted in a random episode of Dynamite? That was a big name.
As the founder of this show, I would like to go first on this one.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I got the right answer. Was it with Chavo Guerrero?
Okay. What is your answer, Albert?
Oh man, there's been so many debuts.
Just a random debut to happen.
Like,
wait, what? CM Punk was
a random
debut.
It wasn't really random.
No, that was on Rampage. That was on Rampage.
Oh, yeah, that was Rampage.
Well, and then Danielson was on the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
So, who else is new? You got, and this is recent, so maybe. Okay. CM Punk was on Dynamite, was on Rampage. Danielson was on All Out, and we had fucking Chavo. No, Aleister Black, because he. Never mind. I'm going to explain why. Aleister Black.
All
he's
right. Kevin, what is your answer?
I'm with Albert on this, man. This is a very hard question because I'm trying to think of when everybody debuted. I would say on Dynamite.
They both go say
on Dynamite.
You got a bunch of Googlers.
A random debut. I mean,
that's a hard one to Google.
Malachi Black is my answer.
All right. Well, unfortunately, gentlemen, you are all wrong.
Oh, hell.
I literally gave you a hint in the question. A big the correct answer was the Big Show.
A big show.
I saw a picture of that earlier.
The big name.
Yeah, but nobody really considers him a wrestler anymore. I'm just kidding.
I said he was a big name wrestler. People know him.
By the way, what the fuck happened to the Big Show? Didn't he leave? Didn't he leave because he was complaining about the way they were using his character and shit like that? And now he went to AEW and they're not using his character at all.
No, he was just there to do commentary. That's it. That's all he wants.
Oh.
That fool can't wrestle anymore. He's old. He's in great shape. Paul White is a fucking best.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he wants to get booked.
Well,
he should go.
Tell you what he should do.
You know what he should do? He should go to fucking NWA and fuck shit up over there.
Dude, who's gonna beat him in NWA? Fucking old fucking
nobody.
What's his name? Old Curtis Lowe or whatever their champion's name is.
No.
Aaron Steven.
All right. Now it's time to tally up these scores. In dead last, we have
Ricky.
Damn, it's offensive. It's offensive.
Shut up, baby.
Dead last. Man,
I'll tell you what. I'll take the win.
I'll tell you who's dead last. Ricky, because he got disqualified.
He got
dead last. Next.
Well, I thought I was on a baseball show, but apparently I'm on a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm. Up next in third place, we have Minister of Sinister with 1 point. It's an improvement from last week, but nothing
thank
much.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
So wait, is it Minister of Sinister tied with me? We're tied?
No, he didn't. You got disqualified, so you got 0 points.
And you
your points got taken away.
Sitting there with his Astros hat on trying to cheat.
Up next with second place is Albert with 2 points.
Albert
and the winner.
Wow. And the winner?
And the winner again, Kevier West, because
Kevier West.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. You cheer now. You cheer now, but you know not what you do. Bow before your new champion, the AEW Fatal 4-Way Champion. You've heard of the FPW Champion and the TBS Champion and the TNT Champion and all the fucking championships, but now bow before the Fatal 4-Way AEW Champion.
Break his back, make him humble.
Yes. Any one of you?
Damn right.
Max, MJF,
yeah.
I'm talking to you. Come take my belt, son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Nice on the spot promo.
Yeah.
So all Christian right. From Philly, does that conclude the of course it does, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly with me. Who was that? The Prince guy.
We all had a lot of educated guesses, and we all did really good. I just want everybody to know they did really good. Even though I just cut
thank
a hill
you.
Promo oh. on y'all, I just want to come back with the babyface promo and be like, you all tried really hard. It was good.
Everybody said Ricky. Ricky
kidding?
Sucks.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, Ricky
Minister has 1 point. Ricky got disqualified.
You didn't give me a
right. We're in disgrace.
You almost didn't give me a point for SDU. I'll remember that.
I did give you a point. That's why you have 2 points, Albert.
Thank you.
We're a
thank
fucking
you.
Disgrace, guys. We don't even qualify as experts on AEW. But you know what? In fairness,
I do.
We can't qualify. How do you qualify on something that you haven't studied for 10 years? Because it takes 10 years before of studying a subject before you can become qualified, a qualified expert. So AEW does not exist yet, so we're okay. We'll take the participation award this time, damn it. But only this time.
No. Well, you do, but not Ricky because he didn't take this seriously.
Oh shit! Tonight's show, by the way, being brought to you by Shiner Bock. Oh, actually, no, it's not being brought to you by Shiner Bock. Tonight's buzz is being brought to you by Shiner Bock. The show is not being brought to you, but I digress. So yeah, Christian from Philly. I think there's only one thing left to do.
Yeah,
and that's the report. What else?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, this is a WWE Report, right? Tonight's program, right, we're going to talk about the tournaments that's been going on, the Queen and the King, and last night's Raw, which was the worst fucking Raw. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not overreacting. Last night's Raw was the worst Raw of the entire year, all right? I just got the numbers for the ratings tonight, last night. It was 1.5. That is the lowest rating on fucking Raw in TV history.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal, Christian. I mean, I was going to tell Kevier just a little while ago when he was talking about how he's going to watch Friday. I was about to bounce in and fucking tell him, hey, dude, you know what? You're going to you're probably going to find that you enjoy it a lot more. By the way, Albert has just dropped off. You're going to find yourself that you're going to enjoy it more because you've been laying off the product and shit. But holy shit, I had not watched Raw for like 3 weeks, I think it was. And it was fucking horrible last night. Horrible fucking
really?
Show. I couldn't fucking follow it. I mean, it was just a bunch of shit is what it was. So, I mean, unless if they have something fucking planned out, and then they stick to it, and we don't hear no reports of how they changed it at the last minute and shit. I mean, I don't know how they're going to pull this thing off Friday night. I mean, I'm probably going to watch, though. You know, I'm probably going to watch, but, you know, still, I don't know that I'll be impressed with it, but I digress. Christian.
First off, right, the opening segment was with Drew, and, you know, Drew was doing okay. You know, it was okay. Promo, but then came the WWE champion Big E. My God, he's fucking awful. This guy cannot cut a promo to save his life. His promo was garbage. He kept talking about bleeding and his blood going in his nipple. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hell yeah.
This is the WWE champion. The WWE champion. And then, for some reason, the SmackDown Tag Champions, the Usos, show up on Raw, even though they are already drafted to the SmackDown. So what are they doing here? What's the purpose? So they attack Big E and Drew McIntyre, and it sets up the main event, which I'm going to get to right now real quick. Guess what? Stupidity ensues. The WWE Champion gets his ass kicked the majority of the tag match. Gets isolated the majority. And then fucking Big E and Drew McIntyre began fighting each other, and they both get counted out. The champion loses by a count out to the SmackDown champion. And then the WWE champion gets laid out by Drew McIntyre. Big E is already a schmuck champion. He's already a fucking schmuck. And it's only been a few weeks.
Yeah.
I hate this title reign already. I wish he was already not the champion anymore.
I mean, guys, I sat here 3 weeks ago and told you exactly how his reign was going to go down. Hey, you know, he's going to have a shit reign. It's probably going to be worse than Kofi. Kofi's reign at least had its moments, okay? But I don't know, man. They were beating the shit out of him there in that match. He was laid up all in the corner, and they were just beating the shit out of him. He looked all dazed. It was terrible, man. I didn't care for it at all.
He's going to win. He's going to win whatever gets thrown at him. They're not taking it off him anytime soon. And I say that, like, having not watched the show. Like, so I just think that they're not going to take it off. He's going to beat Drew. Drew's going to try to use heel tactics. Biggie's got those explosive moves, like that corner or that apron tackle that he does where he spears him off of the apron or whatever. He's going to hit Drew with that. He's going to win the match. He's going to do a big hit. So,
he's going to win.
I guess
they still got to feed him to Roman.
That's going to be the crown jewel that they face each other at, Christian?
they're facing each other at Crown Jewel, and it's going to be just a one-and-done match. We all know the fucking outcome, so who gives a fuck? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, Big E's
going to speak on Big E being champion, like, he did a bunch of stuff this week that was really cool. There was, like, some posts where I saw where he, like, did the intro for the Tyson Fury match for UFC or whatever it was, and then he, like, did, like, one of the games, like, for the team that he used to play for. I don't know enough about him, but he, like, introed, like, their game and stuff. And,
right,
and there's, like, a
right.
lot of cross-promotion where we always bitch about Roman doesn't get to do this, like, or, you know, heel champions don't get to do that kind of, like, and Big E is
actually
kind of
Roman has done that. He Roman has been on Fox Sports on the college football where he was picking the games and shit. And so he has done that. I did watch that. That was the last.
But it's cool. That's,
so this
that's
season,
what I
Big E did.
About at WWE is to have their champions doing more, like, outside of the company. And so that's pretty cool that Big E is doing that. They did this Netflix special. I haven't watched that yet. I think we should all watch that. Anybody that if we all have Netflix, like, next week, we should discuss that because Halloween's coming up soon, and that was like a weird WWE experience. We should do that.
Well, I'm feeling left out here because I don't have Netflix. Fuck Netflix.
Well, if I get a password, I'll shoot it to you, man. That's what I'm saying.
There you
go. If I get a password, I'll shoot it to you so you can watch it.
Yeah. All right, so now we go to the tournament in Raw. By the way, first things first, none of these matches, there was no pro wrestling on fucking Raw last night. None. These matches ended around, like, fucking 1 minute each. They broke up another fucking tag team, by the way. They broke up Mustafa Ali and Mansoor, who got drafted together
really?
On SmackDown.
Yeah.
Another tag team was fucking broken up. What the fuck was the point of them being put together then? What was the point of it?
Ali's a shithead. Ali is a shithead, and they booked him in a way, like, even though we hated the Retribution, and we hit, like, as Mansoor's buddy, like, I hated him. He was playing the shithead buddy that, like, had other motives. Like, Ali is, like, a good character. They could make Ali into something really good, but I doubt they will. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've had, like, several opportunities to make that guy into the next thing. And they're not going to do it. They've replaced him with other people. They moved other people into the place where he should have been. I don't think he's, like, the best thing since sliced bread, but he is one of the better personalities. And the character arc that they've given him could work, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah. So, you know, now we have to talk about the fucking tournament, yo. First is the fucking first ever Queen of the Ring. Fuck this tournament, okay? They did not put no fucking effort in this fucking tournament. Not one whatsoever. First of all, we have to go back to SmackDown real quick with this. We have Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega. Liv Morgan versus Carmella. Carmella did her stupid shit with the mask shit, and she beats Liv Morgan, a person that people want to be pushed, and people want her to have a push, and they fucking choose Carmella instead of a girl who has no talent. And nobody gives a fuck about. Unreal. Next was the
Wait
other match of SmackDown.
It is unreal. It's unreal because it drew the ire of many a fan. It totally fucking drew the ire of many a fan. And not only that, it also got a lot of coverage on sites that are not wrestling sites. I saw it on, like, I don't know if it was Deadspin or some, you know, it got coverage on other sites that, you know, they're not pushing Whiteface, Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan. Rose. That's her old buddy.
That they're not pushing Liv Morgan, you know, the way they should be by now, and how it remains a mystery is what I saw today. So,
she's super popular. There's been a bunch of stuff about her. She's super popular on social media. Like, it's the Zack Ryder thing. It's the Zack Ryder thing, not the Daniel Bryan thing. Because when Daniel Bryan got the crowd behind him, he got pushed to the moon. When Zack Ryder got the crowd behind him, he got buried as fuck. That's what they're doing to this chick. Forgive me, I said Mandy Rose, but I mean, it's similar with Mandy. Mandy had a following like that too, and they put her on NXT. But no, Liv Morgan should have definitely, dude. And I love Carmella. I've always been a fan of Carmella. but Carmella is one of those characters. Like last week, I said, if you want to watch somebody you love turn into something you don't like anymore, or something you hate, Carmella is a great example. They took a great character and they turned her into a shit character.
And this is one of those instances, guys. This is one of those instances that really makes me fucking hate WWE, because what they're doing is they're stopping a fucking organic push.
Yeah.
Okay? They're stopping an organic push. They could make money off of this. What the fuck is wrong with them? Do they
They literally gave her a documentary.
They might. You know, they could still always, but it's not going to matter. Anyway, we talked about it.
Yeah.
I should get the badass beat music. And, you know, like, they're not doing shit with her.
Yeah.
They're not doing shit another with person. Her. I mean, it makes me pissed off, but I digress. Christian.
Another person they're not doing with is Toni Storm. And they have Zelina Vega, no offense to you, Minister, who's nothing but a loser who loses every match, win in a no convincing way, fucking roll-up. Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody fucking gives a fuck about Zelina Vega, all right? She's a fucking loser.
I somehow knew she was going to win. That's what fucking bothers me about it. I somehow predicted the way this fucking night went. And I was like so fucking pissed off about it because you know they're just going to fucking bury her down the road again. And I mean, it's fucking horrific. In a way, it just makes sense that Liv Morgan didn't win because hopefully they have something else planned out for her because obviously she's not going to be the queen. You know, it's going to be either Shayna or somebody.
The sad thing that come to my mind just now is that if you lined up WWE's women's roster and AEW's women's roster right now, WWE has the better women's roster. They have more badass women wrestlers and just like overall than AEW.
Yeah, bro, but the way they
their women's division sucks so bad, and these chicks do not get a chance to like represent themselves right. And they're stuck there, right? Or whatever, if we want to view it that way, they're stuck there. So it just, if you think about that way, like, I mean, their roster is stacked when it comes to chicks, and they could do so much more with them than they don't.
So now we go back to Raw for the Queen of the Ring tournament. We go to the other match in the bracket, which is Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke. Match was garbage. By the way, all these women's tournament matches combined, Roman Reigns' entrance is longer than all their matches combined.
Yes. And you know what, Christian? I saw that also in an article that was like, you know, the one of the articles that I saw that drew the ire of the people and shit, it even mentioned that. I mean, holy shit, Roman Reigns' entrance is longer than all the women's matches put together. I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck? Way to fucking bring up the women, you know? Oh, yeah.
Women's
They took off the Divas title, right? Because the fucking Divas title was too demeaning and degrading. So let's go ahead and bring in a fucking, you know, WWE women's title to make it. Hell, we'll bring two of them in, right? But fuck. I mean, still, look at what they're doing. I mean, holy shit. It's despicable.
Well, I was just thinking too, like, it doesn't matter, like, them being, like, you don't have to expect for these wrestlers to, like, be pushed to the moon, and every favorite wrestler can't be, like, the top guy.
Right, girl. Absolutely.
So, and, like, they're all celebrities. Like, all these wrestlers, like, even though they're not the top of the food chain when it comes to the talent, like only a select few of them are. The rest of them are all still famous. They're all still famous wrestlers, and they're all still like. So all these women on WWE's roster that are just losing matches and shit, they're still famous and they still have a lot of followers and are probably happy with their careers, et cetera. You know, it's just the fans that get mad.
Interesting.
So yeah, the matches suck. Shayna Baszler defeats Dana Brooke. And then next, the women's Queen of the Ring. was Dana Brooke, I mean, Doudrop versus Natalya. That match was horrible. Doudrop can't fucking wrestle. Natalya was trash.
She looks good, though.
In the semifinals.
I got a legit thing for Doudrop, though. I got a legit thing for her.
Yeah. So here's the semifinals, people. This is what we're fucking stuck with. We're stuck with two fucking heels that nobody fucking likes, generally, between Carmella and Zelina Vega in one semifinal match, which I don't really give a fuck who wins this match, to be honest. And then we have another fucking match that's going to be also dog shit between Doudrop and Shayna Baszler. I think it's fucking obvious, right? And that's the problem with these fucking tournaments. They're fucking obvious, right? It's obvious that fucking Shayna is going to fucking win this tournament by doing absolutely fucking nothing. The fuck this King of the Queen of the Ring bullshit, man. It's fucking garbage, okay? It's fucking garbage.
At this point, bro, the only thing that could save this Queen of the Ring is if they pull a swerve on us. Because we all have to know it's going to be Shayna fucking Baszler. You just have to know this shit going in. The way they've done everything so far, it just has to be for her. So, I mean, unless it's like a fucking swerve, it's going to be fucking shit. They better give me a fucking swerve is all I'm saying, damn it. They better give me a fucking swerve.
Now we go to the men's side of this, and the men's side isn't even that better either. Although we did get good matches for the men's side of the King
of
the Ring.
Man, they were great fucking matches, bro. The Xavier Woods match against
Ricochet was the only good match in that entire show last night.
It was fucking badass,
man. It was the only decent
match. Badass match, Kenny. So, that's the match you got to watch.
Yeah. So the first one was... The first one was Sami Zayn versus Rey Mysterio on SmackDown. I don't know why they had Sami Zayn go over, because we all know, because of personal reasons, he's not going to fucking Saudi Arabia. So I don't know what the fuck is the point of this. I don't know why he fucking proceeded into the semifinals. I don't understand it. So then we had Cesaro versus Finn Balor.
Well, I'll tell you why. They did it just so he could lose. That's why.
Yeah, but he could have
lost in the
first round either way.
You know, they probably felt like he... I don't know. They're still going to do that thing with Dominic and him, but it's coming up, I guess. We'll see.
I'd rather had Finn Balor versus Rey Mysterio, a match we've never seen before, than fucking Finn and Sami.
Man, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right, Swami.
Fuck this. So, yeah. Finn Balor wins because Cesaro's a fucking jobber now, because Roman's fucking buried him. He buried him, and so did Seth. So Cesaro's back to being a fucking nobody, back to catering.
Oh, I've heard.
And so we go. Now we go back to the men's side of the King of the Ring. We had, you know, Xavier winning with a good match. But then we have a dog shit match between Jinder Mahal and Kofi Kingston. And
well,
I'd just like to bring this up. What the fuck was the point of teasing Kofi versus Xavier on Raw if you weren't going to fucking do it? What the fuck was the point of that? And then you have Jinder Mahal, the no-telling fuck, win. And now it's going to be Jinder Mahal versus Xavier Woods. You know what's going to happen, right? I have a sinking feeling, right, that Jinder Mahal might fucking win this fucking tournament, because it's going to happen in Saudi Arabia.
I mean,
it's going to be Jinder Mahal.
Again,
it's
you know, yeah, it's fucked up, bro. Again, it's like this predetermined outcome, because they're going to Saudi. I mean, remember how they put the title on him last time?
Yeah.
So here we are again. It just makes sense, and that's what pisses me off. Unless if they do a fucking swerve on this, I mean, I'm out. I'm fucking out. I'm fucking sick of this shit. I'm fucking sick of this
funny
shit.
Thing is too, the funny thing is, too, is that, like, no new talent wants to go to WWE. Like, they can't bring anybody in. They can't, like, bring in a surprise guy. Like, no indie wrestlers want to go there. And even if they did, WWE's not accepting them. Like, they're only doing homegrown talent now.
Right.
So, like, there's no chance for a surprise watching WWE. You're not going to get a surprise. It might be a surprise return of, like, an old wrestler. But we've
right.
seen all of those. We know who could come back out of that pool. We know that pool of wrestlers. So it's shitty, dude. And I'm not saying we have to have somebody come back. Shit, build the talent up that you have. But with the card that you just laid out and all the shit that's going on with Crown Jewel, which I've never backed, and, like, the whole idea of this Crown Jewel thing is totally bullshit. They like, literally were held, like, captive for a while before they could leave the fucking place last time, and now they're going back. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why are you doing these shows at this place? You had to have – it was like they had the first women's match there. They had to wear leotards. Like, they covered their whole body when they wrestled. There's all these things. Like, I get that different cultures are different. But, bro, like, you're, like, doing these private fetish shows for a Saudi Arabian prince so that he can, like, front his money to everybody. That's my full tilt boogie take on it. Like, fuck WWE
wow.
for even still doing Crown Jewel, and fuck them for giving us pointless storylines leading up to it.
You know, however, that contract has already been signed. So, I mean, there's nothing he can freaking do about it. And that's unfortunate because we don't know his side. He may not want to do it.
Yeah.
He may not even want to do it, but he's stuck doing
like
it.
Said,
but, hey, I wanted to bring
like
up.
Sami Zayn doesn't want to go. There's a lot of people that don't want to go. Daniel Bryan didn't go. A lot of people don't want to go. Why are you going to put your employees in this position, bro? It's so fucked up.
It's another point that you brought up that I would like to touch on real quick is the new wrestlers, okay? Now, I think they're doing, and it's horrible that it's at the expense of Jeff Hardy, but kudos to Jeff Hardy. This Austin Theory, I mean, he went out there. Jeff Hardy was cutting a promo. I saw it on highlight. Austin Theory
yeah.
came out, told him how great he was, how he fucking grew up watching him and shit. Next thing you know, he hits him with a move, or he asked him to take a selfie, right? So they take a selfie and shit. Then he hits a move. He takes Hardy down and shit. And then he takes a selfie with him while Hardy's down. Well, this week they had a match, and Austin Theory beat fucking Hardy.
It sucked. Fucking 24/7 people came out.
The match itself did suck. You're right. The match itself did suck. It didn't even last. How long did it last? Like fucking.
It only lasted for like one fucking minute. Nobody
yeah.
got put over. Not even Austin Theory got put over because the fucking 24/7 people took it away, the momentum. So Austin Theory, he didn't look good at all. So, yeah.
Wow.
Another thing.
You just bursted my bubble. Because here
yeah.
I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, they're pushing this fucking Austin Theory. But now that I hear exactly what happened, holy shit, that's a fucking push that's fucking doomed for failure.
So what happens next? Oh, wait, we got to go to the station ID break first.
Oh, we got to do the little break? That's right. Christian from Philly, he's such a producer. Christian from Philly's turning into a producer. He's starting to know the routine of the show. I love that. So, yeah, let's do the whole fucking bullshit.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Goodbye. What is yours?
we are now in overtime. So welcome back, those of you who are on live. Actually, you got to go back and listen to it in the archives for the finish. But yeah, Christian, continue, and we'll wrap it up.
All right. So another thing that happened on Raw was a terrible segment that was Matt Riddle and Omos. Man, Matt Riddle got what he fucking deserved after what happened. You know, the story of his wife and, you know, leaving them. He got fucking punished. He got fucked last night. They fucked. The crowd was absolutely fucking dead the entire night. San Francisco was fucking bored out of their minds last night. They did not give a fuck about anything on this show last night. And they also had the lowest attendance ever, by the way. 4,000-something tickets. Wow.
Wow.
So the segment goes like this. Matt Riddle was going to fight Omos, right? Then he was expecting Randy to help him. Crickets. Crowd did not give a fuck about this segment. This segment dragged on. Omos beat the shit out of Matt Riddle and beat Matt Riddle, all right?
Here's the deal.
By the way,
let me set the table up for Kevier, all right, if you will.
If you will.
So Riddle and Orton, Riddle cut a promo backstage because he had apparently challenged Omos, I think, the week before. Is that what it was? So he's backstage with Orton, and he's wearing his, you know, snake gear, his green snake gear and shit. And he's talking to Orton, and he's telling him, you know, how he's going to go out there and wrestle Omos and shit, and they got to come up with this plan. And they got to come up with this plan, and they got to devise a plan and shit, right? And Orton is like, hey, wait a minute. He can't be fucked with this, bro. He's dealing with his headphones and shit the whole time, and he can't be fucked with it. Then he tells him, look, man, there is no plan, okay? And so then Riddle fucking backs up, and he's like, oh, yeah, right, bro, there's no plan. And he's doing air quotes and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it was funny. It was funny, right? So then he goes out to the ring and shit, and he does his entrance with the chanclas, and he spits them up, and the birds come out and shit. It's a badass entrance, right? And he comes out there, and then Omos and them come out, and then it gets serious, right? But then Riddle comes in, and he gets a microphone all of a sudden, and he starts cutting a fucking promo and telling all kinds of stories, and he's like waiting for Orton to come out with the plan. But as Orton had said, there was no plan, right? So then they beat the fuck out of him. They beat the shit out of him for a little bit, and then finally Orton came out to save him. And that's how it went down. But it was a comedy bit that they did, but it wasn't necessarily it was funny, but in a dark, it was dark comedy, I guess, but it was bad. It was like, I don't know. It was bad because the fans didn't fucking adhere to it.
Here's
so
the
maybe
thing.
It was a poor delivery. I don't know.
Randy Orton is only friends with Matt Riddle because Matt Riddle was persistent and Matt Riddle is good and Randy's taking advantage of him. Right. So that's the story they're telling. Randy Orton is an evil, twisted, sadistic, dark, tortured mind. Randy Orton
yes.
is capable of turning on his best of friends, his mentors. He's proven time and time again. He will
My
fucking
hero.
Destroy anybody that gets in his way.
My hero.
Why would he have a plan? No, he doesn't care about Matt in this match. He doesn't, yeah. And so it's like he has the coolest story arc. I like Randy a lot in WWE. I've always backed Randy. But that's the thing. I mean, it's not a hard story to see what's going to happen. The writing's on the wall for Matt Riddle, dude.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then Kristen called me with some other drama with Matt Riddle, where Matt Riddle supposedly, like, you know, he has some personal stuff going on that could affect his career, because like Christian pointed out to me, you know, Bray Wyatt had personal events where he, like, you know, had an affair with his wife or on his wife or whatever. Matt Riddle
has come out and said the same stuff. And so the rumor now is, you know, what's going to happen? It's like floating. What's going to be the repercussion? If
I don't know, man. I don't know that any of that is actually real, though, because we talked about it too. But you know, she deleted the tweet. She could have just been being sarcastic, because if you remember, I just recently saw a documentary with Riddle. And I want to say that at the end of the documentary, he had moved all of his family down to Florida, and that's how it ended. And so I don't know. There may have been some jest, something going on behind the scenes in jest, you know, because he posted a tweet that he was having the time in his life in L.A. and shit with his best bro. And, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, she's a distraction herself, actually. The shit she said about Becky Lynch and stuff, and I mean, you know, and then you look at her, and she has this figure, like, she's all cut up, looks like a fucking brick, fucking chimney and shit on her stomach. And, you know, obviously she's some kind of bodybuilder or some type of shit. But regardless, you know, she was talking that shit about, you know, Becky Lynch's ass a while back. And it made it really uncomfortable for Riddle, I would imagine. To the point where I had to apologize to fucking Seth Rollins and shit. You know, and I mean, you know, I don't know, man. It is what it is, but... she
drama.
Should probably be a little bit more careful, maybe, with the shit that she posts on social media. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've mentioned the story before when I met Matt Riddle, and it was down here, Survivor Series weekend, the weekend that you didn't go, Chuck, whenever they had all
right.
the shows, like four shows in a row.
Right.
And me and Ricky went to a house show out here at a bar in Houston, and it was like an outdoor show at this place called Griff's.
And he was hanging out?
Yeah, and the ring was outside, and there was like guys from Hurricane Pro in Beaumont running the show, and Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle was the main event. And so we knew who Keith Lee was. We were big fans of Keith Lee from just wrestling down here. And then I knew who Matt Riddle was just because of the indies and UFC bullshit. So
right. That
match, like, we were rooting for Keith Lee big time. The whole time we were just, like, rooting for Keith Lee. And there was, like, a previous match where they put, like, protein shake. Like, all this protein shake got all over the ring. And then they were, like, Keith Lee. They were telling Keith Lee to eat the protein. And I was like, he doesn't need protein. Keith Lee is protein. And then he like, flexed real hard. So then him and Matt fought, and Matt won. And I talked to Matt after the match. Matt Riddle was walking through the crowd, and I was like, hey, man, hey, cool match. Like, was really excited to see you. I said, we were rooting for the other guy. We really love Keith,
Keith Lee.
We really wanted Keith to win. And he was like, oh, fuck you, dude. Like, I told him that we were rooting for Keith Lee, and Matt Riddle told me,
fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Fuck
it was funny, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. And he just walked away. It was funny.
I think he's a great entertainer, though. That shit, that whole shtick is really funny. And I don't know, you know, I think that it's obviously going to end somehow. All right? I think that eventually they're going to pull a Corbin on him. As funny as it is, you know, with the whole bro shit and all that. Eventually, they're going to pull a fucking Corbin on him. Look at what they did to Corbin, guys.
He's ruined.
Corbin, you guys fucking hated Corbin. Then all of a sudden, guess what? He fucking worked his way up to where he started getting the respect of you guys.
No,
all of a sudden, he was getting some respect. And then all of a sudden, they pull the fucking rug out from under him. I mean, get the fuck. That's what happens. When you fucking sign
that extended
contract.
I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, dude. I think Corbin was the straw that broke the camel's back. When I saw Happy Corbin I started being like, oh, man, this is bullshit. And then, like, the next few episodes I watched after that sucked, and I hated everything after
that. Well, let me tell you, man, I missed that whole Happy Corbin thing. I saw it at the beginning, and then, like, I laid off 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, and then I watched it recently, and, I mean, it's fucking cringe, bro. He's got a new lackey, and the whole thing is fucking cringe. And here he had a badass fucking character, a heel character that was getting popularity organically.
Yep.
People didn't like him at first. And then all of a sudden, fucking people were starting to like him. Remember? He came in,
they
was
were on the path
like a fucking
to make him a baby face. They were, you know, they were about to make, with Sad Corbin, they were about to make a really good baby face.
Oh, man, dude.
And they didn't do it. And Corbin, you know, you could compare Corbin. If I was going to compare him to other wrestlers, I would say, like, with Sad Corbin, they could have made him like an Orange Cassidy kind of thing. They could have made him like a comedy wrestler that really could wrestle. Like, they could actually put on a good match but still be a comedy wrestler. And then whenever he was just the legend killer, Corbin, like, that, he was that kind of guy, like this guy who was willing to fight anybody. Like, fuck Kevin Owens, fuck Roman Reigns. Like, for a little while, Ben Corbin was, like, willing to fight anybody. So that was a cool way to put him, too. I don't know. He's always been cocky and shit. I don't know. But, yeah, I think that the way they treated his character and other characters on the show was what made me turn my back.
And he's not the only one, bro. You're right. We could sit here and continue this shit and come up with other examples of this. He's not the only one. I mean, and they're going to continue to do this shit over and over again. And that's why, man, I'm just so glad I finally got turned on to AEW the way I am now, because it's such a refreshing change, bro.
Look at AEW and look at Baron. So Baron Corbin in AEW, I would compare him to MJF. They had this new guy debuted on AEW television, MJF, and this is going to be their shit. Heel, like their shit-eating heel, like what Baron Corbin was on WWE. That's what, like, MJF is an example of what they could have made Corbin really be, because that's the direction his character was headed, but they didn't. So MJF is like a top heel in AEW now, and Baron Corbin's fucking Happy Corbin.
Up next, we have two more things to discuss in the report. Up next has to be considered the worst women's match ever on Monday Night Raw. The tragedy, right? So when they advertised this tag match between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair versus Bianca and Sasha Banks, you would think, oh, man, that sounds like a pay-per-view quality match. I mean, these are the top four women's wrestlers in the WWE right now. Well, guess what, everybody? That match was a fucking disgrace. That was the worst fucking match I've seen in a while. First of all, Becky Cringe in her fucking terrible CGI is so fucking terrible. All right? She's trying to be The Rock. She's shit, all right? Let's just show people. She's shit.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to get your... What are you talking about the CGI?
The CGI was the big-time Banks, her entrance with the face.
Oh, the little like Roman does the whole thing where character. What was hers?
Yes, hers was her face, her ugly face with her glasses saying "Big Time Facts." It was cringe. It was awful. It looked so ugly. It was terrible.
I missed it. But you know what? The reason I missed it is because I was not interested. I was not interested. Here, to me, this was the finish of the show, right?
No, this wasn't even the semi-main event. This was the third match to the last.
Oh, shit. Well, by that time, believe me, by that time, Kevin, this is why I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. Fuck, man. You're going to fucking enjoy it after not watching it for a few weeks. Because normally I would be able to do that. But fuck, it's gotten so bad that, like, last night I couldn't even fuck with this shit, bro.
Let me tell you what happened.
I was in my phone.
I don't think I'm gonna. Like
I was
it.
Doing
I think,
other
I think
things.
I'm hate it.
I had it on in my background, but I was on the phone. I was doing other things and shit. I mean, I could not be fucked with it.
Let me tell you what happened.
Please. Yes, yes.
Let me tell you what happened in this atrocity, right? So the match didn't even start at all. First of all, fucking Bianca and Sasha were arguing who was going to go first, right? So they kept fucking acting like spoiled children, trying to find out who was going to go next, who was going to go first. And then they started fighting each other. Then Becky Lynch and Charlotte were beating them up. And then Charlotte kicks Becky in the face and beats her up. So now all of them are fucking fighting each other. The match doesn't even fucking happen. So it's already a fucking disaster. And then Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville said, no, the top four women in this division acts like this.
Yes, that's
they
right. I remember that.
Fucking, yes. They restart the fucking match. They're still fighting each other even before the commercial. And then when the match actually starts, the match is fucking shit. The match is fucking terrible. There's no chemistry. The fucking matches are awful. Like it didn't even last long either. So they started fighting
yeah.
each other again. And then it was a double DQ. So what the fuck was the point of this fucking match?
Yeah.
What was the point of it? How could you fucking make all four women look like schmucks? They made Bianca. Bianca's fucking ruined, all right? They've ruined Bianca these past couple of weeks. They fucked her over. They all look like clowns. This was horrible. This was horrendous. What are your thoughts?
We're in contrast. In contrast, in AEW, they do things so much differently. Like, let me just bring this up real quick, Christian, and it's going to be off topic. But I like we, and I'm talking about me and the fabulous Kitty Teixeira, we like the way AEW comes on, and they don't waste no fucking business. They don't waste no time. They don't fucking show you a bunch of clips and shit of what happened last week and the week before and all that shit. They get right to business and give you the fucking first match. And guess what? The first match is usually like the main event or some shit like that. Yeah, I mean, it's usually a great match. And so, fuck, man. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, I'm at that point where, like, I mean, I don't have time to watch two promotions. Fuck that shit. And even if I did, I don't think I'd want to do it. I can keep up with one and watch one. You know, it's just too much fucking wrestling. And so, shit, man, I mean, it's not hard. It's not fucking hard. WWE get the same fucking shit over and over again. And I get that it's their tried and true formula, okay? But at the same time, it's their tried and true formula that I've been fucking seeing for over 30 fucking years, guys. So AEW, man, I mean, it's fucking fresh. And that's where I'm at right now. Christian?
All right, I want to hear Cavier's response to this match. I know he probably didn't see, or maybe he did see the highlights. I want you to tell me after what we told you.
I didn't see the match, but I'll echo what Chuck's saying to an extent, but also, like, you know, I've been watching wrestling since I was 10 years old, so let's call it 20, maybe 25 years I've been watching pro wrestling on and off pretty strongly when I'm on. And this shit is, like you said, it's formulaic and it's going to keep following the same patterns. But that makes me think that AEW could do the same thing. Like, even though AEW is cool right now,
yes.
Let's not eat our words, because they could start fucking up too. They're like a few signings away, they're a few TV deals away from really being like pressured into doing things like WWE does. A lot of things WWE does because of the people that they have backing them and the money that's coming in, especially backing them.
Yeah. The money dictates. The money is always going to dictate where you go with your product. Okay?
For example, I mean, that match probably
you start getting sponsors.
And this product really sucks.
You start getting sponsors for your show, and next thing you know, you can't even fucking say fucking.
Look at the Domino's thing. Look at that. That was an accidental thing, but they used a pizza cutter, and they had a Domino's commercial, and boom, you lost the sponsor.
Right?
Boom, you're
still. I mean, you know, you start getting sponsors on your show that want your show to be like so-and-so, and you know, and they're paying you. They're paying you. So, you know, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. We could spend hours on that. But Christian, what else?
Now the last thing on the report, there is confirmation, right? And guess what? Another spoiler for the pay-per-view, Crown Jewel. Fucking Brock Lesnar is not winning the fucking title, everybody. You know why? Because he's going to take a fucking hiatus after this fucking match with Roman this Thursday. Next week, Thursday, you know.
Yeah, that was expected.
And he's not going to come back until January 1st, you know, around Royal Rumble time. And I've heard that this is not going to be the only match that we're going to see Roman versus Lesnar. We're probably going to see this fucking match again at fucking WrestleMania or Royal Rumble. So get ready to be shoved down your throats with this fucking shithole of these fucking matches. And then we have to wait another fucking year to finally get Roman versus Rock. I'm not standing this shit. I'm not going to stand for this shit. If this motherfucker holds this title until next year's WrestleMania again, next year's, I'm fucking done. I'm not dealing with this shit no more. This is fucking absurd. All this for a fucking match with The Rock?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Now, I'll come back to that. If we see The Rock come back, I'll watch that match. I think we all would.
Course we would.
Yeah, but no, Kristen, like, you don't have to watch until then. Like, if you want out, you can stop now. And
yeah.
We'll just watch AEW and
like
indie wrestling
do.
And stuff.
Yeah. You can do like we do, bro.
Absurd.
It's not going to touch the show either way, bro.
I mean, it already is because Raw got 1.5 million today.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about our show. It's not going to affect our show either way. We're still going to cover wrestling. We're still going to cover wrestling.
Let's drop WWE and just focus on other stuff, and people will be like, oh, they don't even talk about WWE on that show.
You know, personally, I would have liked to have spoken more about AEW this week on the show. They had some great moments. And yeah, you asked me, did I watch it last week? I did watch it last week. I can't fucking spout out results off the top of my head right now, you know, but
yeah.
If I had the agenda in front of me and shit, yeah, I mean, I could talk about it.
But no, I mean, all I meant by that was that it was a pay-per-view quality show. I was like, I mean, yeah, Saturday is going to be awesome. Like, if Wednesday was great, that was their anniversary show. Like, I mean, their Saturday show is going to be good. They've done Saturdays before. They're always badass.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the report.
So that's it for the
report. I mean, Kristen, what's your thoughts, man? Like, do you want to, like, if you had to ask yourself, do you want to keep watching WWE? Are you, like, invested in a part of it? Or is it just for the show that you watch it?
I only do it for the show.
Well, then, like me and Chuck said, you don't have to watch it anymore. If you want to take a break with us. Let's take, like, two weeks off.
We're taking
Let's
breaks.
Fucking skip.
I mean, we
Let's
don't
skip
fucking,
Crown
I don't
Jewel.
Watch it
Let's
every
boycott
week.
Boycott Crown Jewel and then fucking come back after this shit and see what happens.
They're talking about Crown Jewel. They're saying that it's a WrestleMania worthy card. And what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, okay. All right. You look at it on paper. You look at it on paper from the outside and it looks badass. It looks fucking badass, bro. But you fucking
you know
get
what the
into
real,
the fucking
you want
another
real problem?
And the build of it and shit, and it's fucking horrific.
What? Hold on.
Yeah.
Do you know what the real problem is? All the matches are fucking obvious, with the exception of the Seth Rollins and Hell in a Cell match. Every fucking match is fucking obvious. They ruined it and spoiled it. The fucking match with Roman and Brock Lesnar, spoiled.
Obvious.
Brock is losing. The triple threat match between the women, obvious. Sasha's winning. She's the only one who got drafted in SmackDown. Obvious. Drew versus Big E, obvious. Big E's winning. Seth versus Edge, that's not obvious, you know, because we don't know who's going to win in that. So that's the only unpredictable one. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, obvious. Goldberg's winning because it's a no-holds-barred match, obvious. Fucking RK-Bro versus AJ and Omas, obvious. Randy and Riddle going to fucking retain. Every fucking match in this the King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, obvious. Shayna and fucking Jinder are winning. Every fucking match except for fucking Hell in a Cell are the only ones that are fucking obvious. There's nothing exciting about this fucking show.
And yet it's fucking, what, a week and a half away? We still have one more week of Raw. We still have one
not
more
watching.
Week of Raw.
I'm not watching. I'm gonna watch Dynamite on Saturday. I'm gonna watch Rampage
there you
on
go.
Friday. I'm gonna watch GCW. I'm gonna go online. I'm gonna watch GCW. I'm gonna watch local wrestling in November. I'm gonna watch the stuff that I know is good. AAA, like AAA Lucha Libre is badass. I'm gonna watch more of that. WWE, like, we started as a WWE show because we love the guys. The best wrestlers in the world are in WWE. Them motherfuckers ain't there no more. They're in AEW, dude. Let's go watch that shit.
Yeah. I love it. Let's go watch that shit. Hey. One more thing that I wanted to bring up real quick, if you will.
Go
ahead. And that was the story that broke this week of Bryan Danielson. All right. He admitted why he, quote unquote, retired from WWE. And it was because he lied about his health. Now, you guys might not remember this, but some of my old listeners might remember this, because as you know, I've been doing this not just with Fatal 4-Way Radio, but with other shows since at least 2010, maybe even 2009, whatever the hell. It's been a long time. But anyway, I saw on an interview, I actually heard the interview. I don't remember who it was with, though, and that's the problem, where he actually said that he lied to WWE to get to work there. Okay? And so, I mean, hearing the interview and then watching the, you know, reading the articles and shit and then going through the comment sections and shit, people fucking having their views and shit, where I heard the man say himself that he had lied, okay, as far as his injuries went, to get into WWE, his previous injuries, okay? So then later on, several years after that, WWE found out about his previous injuries and shit, and they, you know, concluded that he had lied and brought him in, and of course he had lied, so yeah, they took him out. They made him, they quote-unquote made him retire for a while. So I'd like to get thoughts on that. Let's go to Kevier. What are your thoughts on that? This was, by the way, Bryan Danielson admitted this here recently. You can find it on Bryan Danielson News. I'm absolutely positive.
I've heard that before. Like with his previous run that he like had injuries and then he like lied about them to like get back rehired. I don't know if I heard your timeline right, but I mean I heard that he did lie to WWE about that. And then, I mean, like, his injuries that, like, stopped him from wrestling were really serious from what I remember. And then, you know, it was like his return is, like, one of the craziest wrestling returns I can think of. Like, I never would have thought that Bryan would have come back to wrestling like he did. But when I watched his matches, I talked on this a little bit, like, about how, like, I feel nervous for guys when they're wrestling. And I'm like, oh, no, they're really going to get hurt. Bryan's one of the main ones. That dude, like I said earlier, glass cannon, like this guy is doing awesome moves, but he, like, I feel like the wrong thing could like really fuck him up.
And Biggie is kind of the same way. Biggie does this move all the time outside of the ring where he throws himself on the floor, and it's crazy. So things like that, like, and Brian does that all the time. And this guy, this is the guy who's obviously shown he's willing to put his life on the line and, like, willing to lie about it to be able to wrestle. He was, when he was retired, he was always fighting to come back. He never stopped, like, he was never like, I'm not going to wrestle again. He, you know, I remember that vividly, that he was, like, trying to fight to come back. So it doesn't surprise me that he would lie. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the wrestler in the movie earlier, you know, like, it's like the same attitude. Like, Ryan really is the kind of wrestler who's willing to make a legacy. And I think his legacy has already exists, dude. Like, the American Dragon thing is sick as fuck. And his, like, he's just, he's already got it sealed. He doesn't need to
personally,
kill himself.
Personally, I mean, you know, was it wrong that he lied to them? I mean, I guess it was. But
they,
you know,
they do shit like
WWE
that.
WWE was the was at the time, and probably still is. I guess, you know, according to their sales and shit like that, and their global domination of the wrestling business. You know, the number one, the top, the pinnacle, right? And so, I mean, I don't blame him for doing whatever the hell he had to do to get in there. And
they let guys work hurt all the time. They let guys work hurt all the time. That doctor that it was CM Punk's doctor, like, that guy, I can't think of his name right now, but he would pass people all the time, like the whole Z-Pac thing. Like, so it's like, even if, you know, Brian lied, but he was also passed. Like, they said, yeah, you're good.
This is the quote Danielson said. One of the reasons I was forced to retire was not because of the concussions, but because I lied about that. You have to understand, from WWE's point of view, I had been wrestling for them for 6 years, but then all of a sudden they opened this Pandora's box about lying about his medical history, and now we can't trust him. And that's in quotes. Lying about his medical history,
yeah,
and now we can't
that's
trust him. A lot
like
of that
I said,
was
I think
building
he
the trust back,
injuries.
He said. But they were also legitimately looking after my health. He said, he continues by saying, I was going to see doctor after doctor and doing everything that I could to improve brain function to show above and beyond that my brain was healthy. So, you know, he was taking the steps that they wanted him to take, obviously. And you know, when he says this shit, like, he was going to doctor after doctor, doing everything that he could to improve his brain function to show above and beyond, okay? You have to take into consideration that that was obviously on WWE's dime. So kudos to them for doing that, if indeed that was the case, right? And I believe that's exactly what the case was, seeing as how the whole thing about concussions is under such scrutiny right now that I can't see how it would not be the case. But he continues by saying, it's also my love of wrestling. I felt like I wasn't really done yet. I still needed to come back. I also think there's a lot left on concussion research to be done. And when you're seeing the top doctors in the country and they're all clearing you to do what you love to do, I think I should be able to do that. And so, you know, that explains that he had indeed been cleared. And so they were, at the time, probably punishing him, it makes me feel like. But I don't know, you know, because that's what the article says, you know, that he fucking, you know, was he thought he was ready to go, but he wasn't because he hadn't been cleared from their doctors, I guess is what it was. But he lied. It was about lying about his medical history because he had more concussions than what he told them is what basically what it was. So anyway, the whole thing. I'm just glad, okay? I used to hate this guy so much, right? Like, my hate for him was real, but then I got over it, and it's so comical because, you know, I think he's great. And the way he left WWE right now, this on, you know, because he's married to Bella, who's, you know, her dad or her stepdad is like an important guy with WWE and shit. And, I mean, the way he left, he's such a fucking class act, dude. You know, he may have been caught fucking lying to them, but I mean, how in the hell could you not? When you're trying to fucking reach the pinnacle of your fucking career and shit, and that being WWE, right? I mean, come on. Was that Ricky I hear in the background?
No, it was me. Like, the way he left, he got his hair smashed by a fucking chair. A terrible concerto, by the way.
Oh, you're talking about this last run, the way he left?
Yeah.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, you know, the way he left as far as with the respect that he left by his contract running out. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Not because, you know, he fucking up and had some dramatic situation and shit. You know, he did things the right way. His contract ran out. And then, he's still on good terms with WWE, which I don't blame him for one bit.
Yeah.
Not for one fucking bit. As Kevier said earlier, you know, there's going to be a time when shit hits the fan over on AEW. You know, right now, everything is looking pretty.
Yeah.
It's hot child in the city, and everything is looking pretty.
Yeah.
But the time is going to come where fucking, you know, shit hits the fan, but I digress. Christian, we're done here, right?
Yes, we are done here. I got to go. It's getting pretty late. Thank you for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio. I have been Christian from Philly. Keep it real, keep it real. Next week is the predictions for, you know, Crown Jewel. Because this Friday is the go-home show.
It'll be fun. So, I'll be going in blind. That'll be fun.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hey, Friday's the go-home show, though. Wait a minute. Friday's the go-home show? And then we're also going to have that deal on Friday night where they collide because the feud has ignited. So, ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly.
Oh, boy. What an exciting week for wrestling. I think that you should just, like I said, unsubscribe from the Peacock Network and just go ahead and start watching AEW on the regular. Hate to sound like a shill, and like I totally changed paths, but pretty much this is the equivalent of me joining the NWO. So babyface, Kevier's out the window. Ricky left about an hour ago, so I'll say goodbye for him too. But go Stros. We're the heels of the baseball world, and we're going to take home the gold. And don't forget that local wrestling has a show coming up in November. With a lot of great matches on the card. The first thing that comes to mind really is Ninja Mac. Google Ninja Mac, dude. Best indie wrestler down here. Ninja Mac, Dante Leon. They've been putting on a bunch of matches for GCW. Check those guys out. But Ninja Mac has said that he signed a contract, but not with who. So soon to reveal where Ninja Mac is headed. But big things coming for local wrestling and all their people. And we'll see you next week. Tuesday night here on Blog Talk Radio, I guess. Boo!
Fatal 4-Way Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy A. White. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us right here each and every week, and we wouldn't do the show if you didn't care. So, yeah, that's exactly why we're here, and we'll see you here next time. In the meantime, keep it real, keep it heel. And as always, keep it sexy. Peace out. We'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Peace, motherfuckers. Ow!
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.